much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Just a second. I'm halfway done. I'm halfway there. I'm halfway done with what's happening in here.
Okay.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy.
Four, five, six.
V.I.G.
Now, let me ask you guys a question. Myself, I'm a little bit overweight. What would be a nice meal that you guys would prepare me nutritious?
It was a beautiful point and very well said right up until that moment that you started babbling incoherently.
Myself, I'm not a very in shape, svelte man. I have a little extra baggage around the midsection.
This man is a failure. He is not up to snuff.
What the hell's up with that?
And now. I'm all horned up right now. You don't even know what's going on. I'm horned up, everybody.
Our feature presentation.
It doesn't sound like what you want.
Horned up?
No. No, I'm not in on that. Uh-huh. No one asked me if that was cool. No. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday morning.
The party machine today, right? Huh, guys? I heard it was the party machine.
No, that was last Friday.
God,
that was last Friday.
Let's
get
this party into high gear.
Right, we did that this
Let's
past
do
Friday.
Do it!
Before the weekend.
What? I misunderstand the memo, I thought.
Bean. Asshole.
Come on.
Oh, I don't know if... Okay.
I was so excited. I thought we would play the thong song. Never got to that on
Never
Friday.
Never got to
Didn't.
It.
You're right.
No.
We had so many songs that we had to just leave.
Yeah, Double Dutch
M&M's,
Bus.
Right.
Double Dutch Bus we could work in today if we extend
so
the party
many.
Machine. Some M&M, maybe, I was thinking. It would have been cool to hear some M&M.
Maybe some M&M.
Do you think M&M?
Would have been
I
fun.
M&M. I'd love some M&M,
great idea,
Chip. Good
See?
Idea.
I don't know. Now I'm sad.
Yeah.
Well, we've got other cool things.
I know we do.
Okay.
Anyway, how was the weekend, everybody?
Busy.
Busy? Yeah. Why?
Ugh, I had to leave the house multiple times.
Wow.
Gross.
Right.
But it wound up being fun. Sometimes going out is fun.
The only thing I know from you is what I see on social media where you just complained about everybody's Memorial Day events.
Oh, just one barbecue. Yeah. When your friend greets you at the door and goes, before you make fun of me, I have kale chips for the dip. I'm like, oh, hi, good to see you. I brought wine. Yeah, that's what I was greeted at the door.
And we don't do kale chips?
I just thought, it's a barbecue. Have some freaking chips, maybe some scoops. At the very least, some Fritos.
Right.
I mean, okay. I'm saying. Right. Kale chips.
There's no way to meet your guests at the door either.
Right? And then her husband literally looked. He goes, but we have tri-tip and asada. I'm like, I'm in. Thank you. He saved the day.
Kale chips. So, kale's a fish,
is
right?
Kale a fish?
It's not a fish.
Oh. I heard a guy say
no.
It's a fish.
No, he was wrong. Strange.
That guy's never wrong.
I know. It's very bright.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have to talk about the thing, you guys, that everybody was talking about this weekend, and that is Gorillagate 2016. Oh, how can we not?
My God.
Kevin, you don't watch the news because you're a kid. You heard about the gorilla, right? You heard about the gorilla in the zoo.
If it's the kid that fell in the thing with the deal?
The kid that fell in the thing with
the gorilla with the deal? Yeah. The kid?
So, I have many thoughts on this.
Okay.
Not the least of which is maybe not death threats against the parents. Maybe that's an overreaction. Maybe you don't contact them via their Facebook and threaten to kill Michelle Gregg, 32, and Deion Dickerson, 37.
Sure.
I feel like that's sort of just a given now.
Yeah.
It seems like it, yes.
Yeah. I don't like this comic book character's arc. I will kill the writer.
Right,
it's crazy.
It's insane.
It is. Where did that reaction come from?
I don't
Where
know.
You go from zero to murder in like 5 seconds. It's weird. So for folks who don't know, this family is at the zoo and their 4-year-old falls into the gorilla enclosure. Now, question one is, shouldn't gorilla enclosures be set up so that you can't fall into them?
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah. I would think they would be enclosed.
It was quite the route that this little boy took. Underneath some wires, over a wall, and into. So he really wanted to be in there.
And apparently bystanders, people who were in the vicinity of the family said that they heard the little boy saying he wanted to go into the water. So the mom was aware of his intent. So then how did it happen that she let him do it?
Yeah. Apparently she was watching six kids.
Oh, six kids. All hers?
I don't think so. I think she has four.
Why, really
why do I know
all
this? Yeah, I say four is my limit for a zoo.
They have four children together, okay, right, in Cincinnati. So she went on her Facebook and essentially, and this was the two words that I think really got the ire of the nation, which is accidents happen. When she said accidents happen, people were like, dude, this accident can't happen.
This is like, you know, stuff happens.
Yeah.
Right.
What are you going to do?
Accidents happen is, oh, I left my kid in the car with the windows rolled up and he baked to death. You know what I mean? That's the type of thing that people say that just sounds so flippant compared to what ended up happening in the situation of your inattention. So I think people were pretty angry. She didn't appear to be very contrite. It was pretty like, hey, not my fault. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Wasn't
and
me.
Then she even made it seem like it was God's will that the gorilla was ousted.
Yeah.
Really? She did everything wrong in that Facebook post, basically.
Yes, she did. She did everything wrong. And by the way, she has hired a PR person, of course, and she's turning down interviews and everything like that. So she's trying to stay on the down low now. By the way, it has also come up, and I guess this is in no way relevant, that the dad has years of criminal charges against him, including burglary, firearm offenses, drug trafficking, criminal trespassing, and kidnapping.
Wow.
So people are already kind of predisposed to go, hey, I don't care for this family. And now they went and got that gorilla killed. And what about all the people, Allie, who are outraged that the decision was made to shoot the gorilla? Are they wrong?
I struggle with this because, let's be honest, it's a four-year-old child in there. You don't know what's going to happen. And you can take one stance and say, the gorilla was looking like he was protecting the little boy. Okay.
Possible.
Possible. He also could have been so freaked out by something new in his environment that he wanted to, at some point, tear said little boy apart. We don't know. So people that are very up in arms about shooting the gorilla, I get it. And then some people are saying, why didn't you tranquilize him? Well, it takes a long time for that tranquilizer to work. And the first reaction of the gorilla when he's tranked is freak the F out. So that's what
they
were.
They don't like it? They're not down with the trank happy.
So there were so many factors going into what they ultimately did, which was shooting the gorilla. It's not like it was just this knee-jerk, oh, we got to kill the gorilla.
I mean, the kid was in there for 10 minutes before they shot the gorilla.
Yeah.
10 minutes?
Yeah.
How long must that have seemed, the people watching, by the way?
Yeah, no kidding.
But I mean, there was no way. Look, the zoo had no good options there.
No.
Trank, and maybe the kid gets killed.
And then the outrage is...
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Crazy
exactly.
as well.
Yeah. So it's a terrible situation. All right, last question, because then we got to move on. And that is, what should happen to the parents, if anything? There is talk that there might be charges against them for child endangerment or who knows what
negligence, for
negligence,
sure.
Negligence, yeah. Do you think, because I feel like there are a lot of situations where maybe if nothing goes wrong, you get away with it. But if there are consequences like this 17-year-old gorilla getting shot in the head, maybe now you got to pay. Maybe you got to pay for the gorilla. I don't know what the answer is. But do you think there should be charges, or do you think it's just, well, it's understandable. You had a lot on your plate and you missed that one. What do you do if you're in charge? If you're the prosecutor in this county,
I charge them.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Because the kid told them that's what he wanted, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. And I understand parents are all saying, well, you look away from your kid for an instant and they're gone.
Right.
I get that. But at a zoo, be a little more cautious than if you're in your living room. Just a little bit. And my concern, honestly, is this family going to sue the zoo? And if they do, oh, that family is going down. I will sue that family.
For a lot of lawsuits as a result of this.
What will you sue them for?
Anger.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. You're mad?
Real angry. Mm-hmm.
So, Kevin, you would sue them. You would bring charges, I mean, against them. What would you like to see the penalty be for them? Should somebody go to jail?
Boy, I don't have any idea of that. I don't know that.
It's a tough one.
I don't know what the possibilities are even.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you just... You put one of the parents in one of the other exhibits at the zoo. You just go, all right, mom.
Make them live in the zoo.
Go.
Oh, man.
You have 24 hours. Good luck.
And then you drop a gorilla into their enclosure.
Right. Oh, exactly.
Boom.
This
all
got
right.
dark.
That's right.
See? Now we're in business.
Maybe
okay.
make like a jacket made out of meat. Make her wear it.
I feel like, Kevin.
I feel like now we're coming up with some good ideas.
Is that an option? No? Okay.
No.
It seemed good to me.
A jacket of meat.
Jacket of meat. A meat jacket. Come on, Allie. You know, a meat jacket.
No, I don't know.
Come on.
And the fact
Get with it.
That was your first thought. So disturbing.
This is why Kevin should be a judge,
right? Who would be a better judge than me?
Put
right?
her in an exhibit, drop a gorilla in, and give her a jacket of meat. That was just off the top of his
right,
head.
That's what should happen. I don't know why people don't listen to me, Judge Kevin. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I wouldn't listen to it. Oh, she's a bitch.
I think that girl would listen to it today. Kevin Nealon, comedian on the program today.
Love Kevin.
Same.
So funny.
Bachelorette Report was on again last night for 2 hours.
I don't know anything about it except apparently guys named Chad are bad. That was my only takeaway.
Yeah, like, my whole timeline was Chad's an asshole. Okay.
We also have Harvey Levin from TMZ like we do on Mondays. We're going to tell
and
you about
Tuesdays.
And Tuesdays. Mm-hmm. We're going to tell you about a new hipster fog vodka. Vodka made out of fog.
Oh.
What? Yeah.
That's
expensive.
Real classy.
Right. And in the 7 o'clock hour... Prophets of Rage.
Yay!
Prophets of Rage in studio. Very excited about this.
Yes.
It's going to be on Facebook Live. You can listen to it here on K-Rock, and it's going to be fantastic. Very excited about that. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55.
Back for another week and more great giveaways, including, how about this, qualifying you for a trip to the Reading Festival in England, one of the biggest, greatest rock and roll festivals in the whole wide world, courtesy of our friends at the 21 Pilots and Ramen Records. Keep listening for your chance to win. Coming up on K-Rock, we'll also give you tickets to go see the band at the Honda Center in February of next year. We're giving away tickets for.
Woo!
February of 2017, we're giving away tickets for the 21 Pilots show.
Can't wait for 2017.
This
blows, right?
That is the voice of our friend Ralph Garman, who has joined us. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday morning. What's going on?
Before we get going, one question for me on the grill enclosure meat jacket plan.
No, we've got it all set.
I know you do. I understand
that. It's all buttoned
up. I feel like that's pretty solid.
I'm not saying it shouldn't go forward. And that's kind of an excellent plan. I'm just wondering... Kevin, do you think gorillas eat meat?
That's a great question.
Is that part of your plan there? You thought that if you put someone in a meat jacket, that would be delicious food for the gorillas?
I feel like that was based in that understanding, yes.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. All right. I was just curious about the
you're saying, process. So you're
there.
Saying no?
Well, I mean...
Maybe meat isn't...
Well, just that they don't eat it, that... I mean, that might be a drawback to your plan. The gorilla might look at the meat jacket and go, that doesn't interest me at all. If we're wearing a bamboo jacket or something, it might be more enticing.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, there's anything wrong with your plan. Your plan is still solid. It should move forward, I think. Once again,
one's on me, then.
No, I think,
I'll
no. I wouldn't even let you back up.
I didn't know.
Because I think
either.
It's genius.
I didn't know
I think it's
Thank
right
you,
on, it's
Thank
spot
you.
On, and you and Allie should decide all things then. If
right?
She didn't know either. You two
I
should.
I really didn't.
I just think you're terrific.
You are. You're both terrific, and I look forward to reading your new book.
Thank you.
It's Tuesday. After a long 4-day weekend, but we're still going to take a look at the box office to see what people went to see over the weekend. X-Men Apocalypse debuted to $80 million. Only in Hollywood can $80 million in a weekend be considered disappointing. People thought X-Men Apocalypse would make more, but still enough to crush the competition and be number one at the box office for the long weekend. Alice Through the Looking Glass debuted to $34.2 million, another disappointing opening for a brand new film. The Angry Birds movie was third. Captain America Civil War came in at number four. And then Neighbors 2. Sorority Rising at number five. Jungle Book, The Nice Guys, Money Monster, Love and Friendship, and Zootopia. Rounding out your top 10 movies at the box office. Just when you thought you couldn't love her anymore, Adele went off on someone in the audience at her concert last night in Verona, Italy. Billboard.com reports that Adele... was up there singing her just adorable little heart out. And she noticed a woman with a video camera set up on a tripod taping her entire show. And Adele addressed it. She said, "Can you stop filming me with the video camera? Because I'm really here in real life. And you can enjoy it in real life rather than through your camera." The woman didn't stop. Then she went on to say,
the woman didn't stop when she's telling her from the stage?
Yeah. She said, this isn't a DVD. This is a real show, and I'd like you to enjoy my show because there's lots of people outside that couldn't come in. And apparently the audience cheered and then murdered the woman with the camera because
that's
how you settle things these days.
That took a turn.
If there's
was
a problem.
Wearing a meat jacket?
She was wearing a meat jacket, and the audience ate her. So it all worked out. By the way, Allie, I don't know if you heard, but Adele just moved to town.
I saw that. Beverly Hills.
Yeah, I just bought a mansion in Beverly Hills for the low, low price of $9.5 million.
How much of this past weekend did you spend outside of that house?
I did check the, you know, the aerials, trying to figure out where it
stalking opportunity.
Could be. Me and my best friend, Adele.
Her neighbors are Jennifer Lawrence, Ashton Kutcher, Mila Kunis, and Cameron Diaz. Oh, she's got to find a better neighborhood than that, doesn't she?
Allie, do you have to move now to try to live closer to her?
No, I'm close enough, but I feel like I could be closer.
Right.
And I'm sure once we do become best friends, she'll have like a guest house because she's out of town a lot and she wants me to look after.
So you're going to become friends for sure?
For sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Will you be wearing a meat jacket while you're watching her dogs?
If that's what Adele wants.
That'd be dangerous. I want you to wear a meat jacket and have my dogs nibble off you.
Okay.
While you lay by the pool.
No problem.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Clint Eastwood. Clint mother loving Eastwood. 86 years old today.
I would.
Really?
Yeah.
You might kill him.
Listen. It's always an option.
It's a good way to go.
Yeah. Thank you,
by
Kevin.
By Eastwood. Death by Eastwood.
Oh, with sex. I'm saying with sex.
Death sounds, by Ashley.
Sounds like a new.
I'm saying during sex. That's a good way to go.
Sounds like a new fragrance. Chris Elliott is 56 years old today. Funny man. Leah Thompson's 55. DMC of Run DMC. Daryl McDaniels is 52 today. Brooke Shields turns 51. Our buddy Phil. You all right?
Hang on.
Yeah.
It's a janky. There we go.
It's a little gooey. Just run some alcohol over that. Get an alcohol swab and just run that over the bell.
Well, you know, long weekend.
But I understand. You've been busy. Phil Kogan's 49. Actor Colin Farrell. This can't be. Just Colin Farrell here is 40.
Oh, I think he's older.
He's older than 40, isn't 40. He?
Yeah. Say he's like 45.
I don't know.
Well, I'm not asking 43. You to guess.
Just 43.
I'm not asking for you to tell me a guess.
Well, just saying yes or no on 40.
Just saying it seems off.
The internet says May 31st, 1976, age 40.
Huh. Imagine that.
Must have been very young when he started.
He must have been. Fallout Boy drummer, rather, Andy Hurley is 36 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
After the show on Friday, we started to see the reports coming out of TMZ.com about Amber Heard, whom we had heard had filed for divorce, the day before, I think, with her husband, Johnny Depp. And then abuse charges were leveled. And, man, did that let the air out of the room. You guys remember?
Yeah, it changed everything.
How sad we were, hoping it wasn't true, and it has done nothing but get curiouser and curiouser since then. You know, in a lot of these situations, it's a he said, she said. In this case, Amber and Johnny have a lot of people around them much of the time, and they are starting to weigh in, and Harvey Levin is on top of it at TMZ.com and was covering it all weekend long, and we're thrilled to welcome him back to the Kevin and Bean Show this morning. Hey, Harvey.
Good morning, guys.
Am I right? There's a lot of people weighing in on this Depp Heard thing.
Yeah, I mean, I will tell you, somebody is a liar here. And Johnny Depp is adamant it's Amber Heard, that this is a money grab, that he didn't touch her, that cops didn't see a single injury to her when they came to the house, that the place was not in disarray, according to the cops. The cops said there was no there was no evidence of a fight. She never mentioned him throwing an iPhone at her. And there are two bodyguards who say that Amber screamed, "Stop hitting me." And they were standing in the entryway of the apartment. Within 1 second, went into the living room area and saw Amber sitting on the sofa in the living room, Johnny more than 20 feet away in the kitchen. So Johnny is saying this is a setup. Now, Amber has just released a statement through her lawyer saying that she didn't file a police report because she wanted to protect Johnny's career, but she's been forced now to go back to the police and file a report because she says her character has been assassinated. She says that, this is an odd statement. She says she suffered through years of physical and psychological abuse at the hands of Johnny. They were only married for 15 months, so I'm not sure about the years there. She says that that there was disarray in the apartment, that she suffered severe severe injuries, and she says, this is the lawyer, Amber is the victim, Amber is a hero. So the battle lines have been drawn.
Boy, they really have. And this puts all of us in the public who are not in the know in a difficult position, because our first impulse is and should be to believe the woman who says she is being abused.
I could not disagree with you more.
Oh, tell me why.
Your first instinct should not be to believe anyone. Your first instinct should be to say, I don't know what the hell is going on. I should wait. To say you believe the woman means, okay, let's just convict and assassinate and kill the guy every time, and then he has to disprove it. Really unfair.
I think that's a fair point.
Really unfair.
I understand where you're coming from, but wouldn't you agree, Harvey, 99% of women who say they are abused are abused?
Well, I don't know what the percentage is. You're saying 99. You may be right and you may be wrong. I don't know where you're getting it. But I will say that when somebody gets accused of this, their lives are pretty much ruined.
Certainly,
and I'm not saying disbelieve the woman, but this is insane to immediately presume that somebody is telling. I mean, people lie. People lie for all sorts of reasons. They lie for money. They lie for revenge. They lie out of jealousy. And they often they tell the truth. But you don't know what the motivation is until you start hearing what's what. So I really rail when people say you got to assume that so and so is telling the truth or so and so is a liar. I mean, you just don't know until you see the evidence come out.
All right, let me ask you this question. All of the stuff that you mentioned before didn't come from the police. That either came from Johnny or from Amber, right?
No, the police said when they showed up,
they saw
no evidence of injury to her face. None. And they say that there was no crime committed as far as they could see. They say the place was not in disarray, although Amber has pictures of glass all over the place. Cops say when they were there, there was no evidence of that. The bodyguards back that up.
What do we make of the photos that you published a few days ago of her with what looked like trauma to her face? She's saying that's from the phone hitting her?
Yeah, no, I don't think there's any doubt there. It's trauma to her face. The question is from what and when.
Right.
And she says it is absolutely from Johnny hurling an iPhone at her, hitting her in the face. For sure she says that. His people are saying it's absolute BS, that there's pictures of her partying the next night. She doesn't look the worse for wear. She's smiling. And they're saying that it just didn't happen. It did not happen.
You know, I mentioned when we brought you on, and this is the voice of Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, I mentioned that a lot of people are speaking on this, and I didn't have much room for the ex-girlfriend of Johnny Depp coming out or Johnny Depp's kid coming out because they weren't there and they didn't know. But when you start talking about people who were in the house at the time the alleged assault happens, these bodyguards that you're talking about, unless, you know, they're being paid off by Johnny Depp or they're being told to say what they have to say. I mean, there's a lot to wade through here to get to the truth, it looks like.
Yeah, and I mean, look, to me, the biggest thing, and I agree with you on the bodyguards, but the biggest thing to me is the cops, that when they showed up immediately after, they said there was no evidence of a fight, there was no evidence of injury, there was no evidence of disarray, and they left. And they said no crime was committed.
Let me ask one follow-up on Depp, and that is, how much of this news breaking ahead of his film opening this weekend do you think was an impact on the box office? Or was it just people weren't that excited about another Alice movie? What do you think?
I don't know. Look, I know that on his side, they think it's really outrageous that people are blaming him for the tanking of the movie. On the other hand, this is a family-friendly movie, and the timing couldn't be worse.
Right.
I mean, there is no way the timing could be worse, to say, let's go to a family-friendly movie, and this guy is accused of beating his wife.
Right. Well, like you said when you came on, somebody's lying.
Somebody's lying.
I hope we get to the bottom of it.
Or a couple people are lying.
That's possible, too.
Or a couple people are lying.
TMZ throughout the day on Fox Channel 11. Of course, TMZ Live airs Monday through Friday at 4, also on Fox. TMZ Sports airs midnight on Fox Sports 1. And don't forget the TMZ Tour and the TMZ Candy Bars. Thank you so much for sending those over to us, Harvey. We enjoyed them very much.
There you go.
Have a great week. We'll talk to you next time.
Okay, guys.
Prophetsofrage.com. Have you been there lately, you guys?
Yes.
It's countdown.
Countdown clock.
to 8 o'clock this morning.
Mm-hmm.
1 hour, 21 minutes, 53 seconds from right now is when a bomb goes off or something happens. Or
I don't think a bomb goes off. I'm not sure how it works. Happen. I don't know.
Musical bomb beam. But
nice.
But Prophets Rage are going to be here in studio with us in about 20 minutes. So we will be ahead of that announcement at the website. So definitely be listening to K-Rock, hear it on the radio, and we'll also be streaming this through Facebook Live. Now, this is on the Kevin and Bean page, right?
Sure.
Or the K-Rock page. I thought you might know. We'll get back to you on that. We'll get back to you on that. I'm not a big wine drinker or vodka drinker or any kind of alcohol drinker, so I don't know much about how these things are made. But I will confess that I was surprised to see that there is a limited edition vodka that is now being made with San Francisco fog.
What?
Yeah, they're making it with fog.
How do you make vodka with fog?
It's funny you would ask.
Fog is a big part of the identity of San Francisco. But Hangar One, water is at the center of everything that we do. Vodka is made up from 60% water. And to support water conservancy in California, we started to explore more sustainable ways to make Hangar One. Could we make a vodka using fog? The process of collecting fog is actually...
By the way, she doesn't even pause there for a second.
How high were they when they're like, can we make vodka out of fog?
So funny. Oh.
Could we make a vodka using fog? The process of collecting fog is actually similar to the process of distilling. Taking a liquid, vaporizing it, and then collecting the vapor back to a liquid. It was just magical to see that the water does have a flavor. And not only that, but it lends something really unique to the final product. Very delicate and very subtle, but it definitely has a signature that we're really excited about.
Come on.
Show of hands. Who believes this?
No one.
Not even a little bit. I don't know why this needs to be a thing. So we asked Dave, who could we talk to? And from Hangar One, the company that's making the fog vodka, we have Andy Clark on the line. Mr. Clark, welcome to the show, sir. How are you?
Hi.
Hi, Andy.
That's how you are?
What
kind of question is that?
I said, how are you? He said, hi. Oh.
All right.
So, Andy.
Because you thought I was high.
Right, a little bit, yeah. All right,
no, I'm using it in a salutation form.
Okay, fine too. So, Andy, what are we missing about this? Why does the world need a vodka that is made of fog?
Why doesn't it need one?
Well, because there are plenty of other vodkas that are delicious that are made with water. You don't have to go to that extra step to get the water out of the air.
But fog is an identifiable part of the California experience, man.
Right. Uh-huh.
And we're here at Hangar One, we're dedicated to creating fresh, new experimental vodkas from purely Californian ingredients.
Right. But fog?
Okay. But next.
It just sounds made up, though. It sounds like something that...
You think fog is made up, man? You've never been in San Francisco. You can't even see the bridge sometimes because it's fog.
No, I know that fog is real, but, I mean, just you can just use water and claim it's fog. It just seems like an unnecessary step.
Well, that would be a lie.
Well, okay. It says that it has a distinct taste, so fog tastes different?
Well, listen, water comes from different sources, okay?
Right.
Okay.
You can get water from, like, a mountain stream.
Sure.
Or water from, like, Santa Monica Bay.
Right.
If I gave you a glass of water from the bay or a stream, you could tell the difference.
Absolutely.
One would have a syringe floating in it.
Likely, yes. Okay.
So we use California ingredients to make our special vodkas, and it's the sustainable way to get water, man. We're not taking it from, you know, drought-stricken California. We're pulling it right from the air. It's a good thing, man.
It says here, this revolutionary experiment yields an extraordinarily crisp, pure, and gluten-free sipping vodka.
It's delicious, man. We get up. I get two guys out there every morning, Keith and Brad, and I give them a mason jar, and I say, run through the fog, man, and bring some back. And they do. Then we just make the vodka.
And then how much vodka can you make out of those two containers?
I don't know, less than some.
So if you see two dudes named Keith and Brad just running along the beach catching fog.
With an open mason jar, man, you know what they're doing.
It does sound like a very labor-intensive process
to make vodka. It's not easy, but nothing good is, man. That's why we're making vodka from all kinds of California ingredients.
Oh, not just fog?
No, we got one we make out of paint chips from the Golden Gate Bridge.
That sounds dangerous.
Yeah.
It's not a big seller.
Okay.
People are going blind when they drink it.
Right.
I think that's a drawback.
Yeah, let's not make that anymore.
We also got a guy down on the Hollywood Walk of Fame just squeegeeing up condensation in the morning.
Oh.
That makes for an interesting vodka.
Oh.
We got one made out of Huell Hauser's ashes.
Oh, that's amazing.
How's that one?
You. How dare you? He's a treasure.
Right. I don't want to drink him.
We got one made out of Lamar Odom's sweat.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
We don't need to distill that, man. We just, you drink and you get like hammered. And we're making another one out of bears.
Wait, what?
Out of bears.
Bears on the flag of California, man.
Right.
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 But how do you make a vodka out of a bear?
We just put it in a barrel and step on them like grapes.
Oh. And that works?
Well, it hasn't so far, but we're going to keep trying.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
Prophets of Rage. Whatever the hell that is, coming up right after the top of the hour. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday. What's going on?
I've been making a profit off of Rage for years. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, you
right?
have.
Who's with me? Is this thing on?
It's on. Okay. Can't believe you didn't already have that trademark.
I'm monkeying with my stuff over here. I don't know what's happening, but stuff's being monkeyed with. And I'm not one for monkeying.
There's that rage.
There you go.
There it is.
Where's the profit?
Ralph, you listened to the Monkees album over the weekend?
I have not had a chance yet. I'm in ownership of it, but I have not had a chance to listen to
the
new Monkees. Yes. It's the number one album on Amazon.com.
Is it really?
Really?
Number one on the charts. Best-selling album on Amazon.com right now.
We got to check in with Rodney.
How excited is he?
He's got to be. He can't believe
he's
lived long enough to
carry the monkey torch for 50 years. And now finally he's in step with the rest of the world. First time since 1967 that's happened. Madness. Listen, it's hard after a holiday to get back in the swing of things, getting back to school and work. I dig it. So let me do something to take the sting away a little bit. Just a little something for you. For being up this early, for listening to the show. I've got passes to a K-Rock advanced screening of another motion picture. This one looks awesome, by the way. If you were a fan of the first film, you are going to love seeing The Conjuring 2.
Yay!
Further Adventures of Lorraine and Ed Warren, the probably most famous real-life paranormal investigators in history. They were the husband and wife behind the original investigation into the Amityville Horror House. And The Conjuring was a terrifying film. And Conjuring 2 opens in theaters everywhere on June the 10th. On June 8th, we'll do a special K-Rock advanced screening of The Conjuring 2. Vera Farmiga is back. Patrick Wilson also back. Frank Potente is also in this film. It's a story of Lorraine and Ed Warren traveling to help a single mother who's raising four kids alone deal with a house that, you know, is plagued by malicious spirits.
You are all going to die tonight.
Yep. That's what I'm saying.
Looks scary.
Looks terrifying. If you want to see it, give me a call now. 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through at that particular phone number will win a pair of passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of The Conjuring 2. Speaking of terrifying, Justin Bieber, right?
Right.
Oh, terrifying.
What's he doing now?
Big brouhaha, Kevin. There's a brouhaha between Justin Bieber and Skrillex. And a poor little independent artist named White Hinterland. You know White Hinterland. She is an independent artist who's just out there trying to make a living. And she released a song in 2014 called Ring the Bell. And she claims that Justin Bieber stole the opening vocal hook of her song for his hit song Sorry. Just ripped it off. Just stole it right away from her. Said White Hinterland.
Okay.
And it that took is her real name, by the way.
A year to realize it?
Listen, the wheels of justice turn slowly. All right? You don't know.
Right. Okay. You don't know. You weren't
I just feel like the first 8,000 times she heard Sorry on the radio, it should have been obvious.
You're pretty quick to make your judgments when it comes to these legal issues. That's all Harvey Levin and I know, Bean.
Okay.
You're suspect
in
these areas.
Stand down.
All right, so don't believe the woman and side with Bieber. I got it.
The opposite, I think, is what we're saying. White Hinterland said, the writers, producers, and performers of Sorry did not obtain a license for this exploitation of my work, nor did they obtain or seek my permission. How about you be the judge?
Oh, fun.
Okay.
Kevin, I'm guessing at the end of this, we'll put someone in a meat jacket.
If I need to.
But for the rest of you, let's play the two songs side by side, and you let me know if you think that White Hinterland has a case
good.
In saying that the opening vocal hook of her song, Ring the Bell, was stolen and used in Justin Bieber's hit, Sorry. First up, Justin Bieber's Sorry. Next up, White Hinterland's Ring the Bell.
Guilty. Murder. Done.
I don't think anyone...
Guilty. 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 Guilty.
I don't think anyone murdered anyone. Okay. All right. We got guilty.
Got that?
I'm just saying. Okay.
Right.
I think we see. I think you think they're guilty. Okay.
Right.
I'm just saying that is a pretty unique hook and sound to explain away by someone saying, "Oh, we just had the same idea at the same time."
That's another way of saying guilty.
Someone heard that and said, "Oh, that's cool. Let's rip that off and put that in our song."
Okay, I hear what you're saying. But
I get a sense that you don't, because I feel like there's something coming along.
And now counterpoint with Bean. How likely is it, for reals, that Justin Bieber and or Skrillex would have ever in their lives been in a position to hear something from White Hinterland?
Wow. Skrillex is an amazing producer that listens to a ton of music, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
You listen to a ton of music.
Listen to Bean.
With his arms crossed.
You listen to a ton of crap we've never heard of, Bean.
Story.
I'm just saying that, look, I don't know anything about White Hinterland, and maybe I sound like a fool because she's very popular, but it seems to me like maybe this is just a completely...
So only popular musicians get ripped off from?
That's
I
what
would
it
think
is.
It's the opposite.
Less,
I think the less popular you are, the more likely you are to get stolen from because no one thinks that you would
but this
ever
is, to
say
me,
anything.
Look, I don't know. And
did you hear the two sounds side by side?
I did hear the two sounds. But look, this is like that guy who no one had ever heard of who stepped up and said, hey, I wrote Stayin' Alive. And then the Bee Gees are like, we've never heard of you. I mean, there are a lot of cases like that where people just...
It's a good reference from 1978.
Yep. No. That happened a few years ago. I'm just saying there are a lot of unknowns who stepped forward and claimed
that this isn't a similar tune or a melody that could have some similarities. This
is
a particularly
exactly the same
unique audio sound that was lifted and then reused.
Hmm.
I don't think I'm making a lot of headway.
So you get Zippo, Snada.
That's Bean's decision.
Correct.
I hope they don't get Judge Bean in this case, because White Hinterland's in for a world of hurt.
Look, none of us know, you guys.
I know.
We don't
The rest of us know.
We all know.
Do they sound similar? Yes. Is it possible in the millions of
go isn't on.
Isn't it possible in the millions of sounds that people make with their computers and whatnot that something they could have made would sound similar to something she made years ago? Yes, that's also possible.
Why do you hate her?
I don't hate her at all.
Does she owe you money?
Right?
No, we
don't
know.
Did she turn you down for some creepy request you
made? No.
I feel like we're more inclined to believe it because it's Justin Bieber and we want this to be true.
Well, he is awful.
Right. He is awful. Yeah, look, I want him to be put down.
Oh, you don't.
I do.
You love him.
You love him.
I'm not defending Justin Bieber.
You're defending him.
You want to marry him.
Love. Defense.
In a tree.
Marriage.
Swinging.
Kissing.
Loving up.
I'm just saying, usually the superstar has not stolen from the unknown. Usually. That's the case.
Superstars
that's
are wonderful.
Baloney.
Superstars
it
are wonderful.
It doesn't make sense.
Starving artists suck.
That's what I heard.
What a dick.
You're the worst.
You're the worst. You truly are literally the worst.
He's an ass.
Oh, come on.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Clint Eastwood's 86 years old today. Actor Chris Elliott, of course, first came to our attention, I guess, on the Letterman show, right?
Yep.
He was very funny on that show. 56 years old.
But he's in Kevin's Hall of Fame for Cabin Boy, too, right?
Right, sure. Leah Thompson, Back to the Future, 55 years old. DMC from Run DMC. Daryl McDaniels is 52. Brooke Shields is 51. Phil Kogan. That's right, brother. Get alone.
That's Hulk.
That's Hulk. Hulk. This is Phil, the host of Amazing
Race.
Name.
His real name is Phil.
Oh, this is the Amazing Race host. Different guy.
That's right. Everybody run the race.
Nope.
See you at the other end.
Not that
Eat
guy.
Fruit. I love to watch it all the time. He's 49 years old. Actor Colin Farrell, who we've established is indeed 40 years old, celebrates his birthday today, as does Andy Hurley, drummer for Fall Out Boy. He's 36. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Look at this room right now.
Look at this room right now.
Look what's happening in this room right now. We would be delighted to have any one of these five gentlemen on the show, and we've got all five of them. Our friends from Rage Against the Machine, Tommy and Timmy and Brad. Chuck D is here from Public Enemy, and of course, the great B-Real from Cypress Hill. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Prophets of Rage to the Kevin and B-Real.
Yes.
Welcome, guys. What's up, boys?
Hello. Hello, we are here.
Hello.
Good morning to everybody.
This whole thing is just blowing people's minds because it kind of popped up out of nowhere a couple of weeks ago, and people kind of, you know, you've been very sketchy with the details. You've not been forthcoming with much. So it's left a lot of room for speculation, and we are delighted that you are here on K-Rock so you can finally tell us what the hell is going on. What is Prophets of Rage?
Well, until this moment, it's only been speculation. It's been a countdown and a website. And so the website, the countdown has come to zero, and we are here to announce what it is exactly.
And it is?
It is a band.
It's a band.
It is a band featuring the five of us plus DJ Lord from Public Enemy. Myself, I'm Tom Morello, Tim Comerford, Brad Wilk from Rage Against the Machine, Chuck D from Public Enemy, and B-Real from the mighty Cypress Hill. We are Prophets of Rage, and we're playing a show tonight.
Yes, let's talk about the details. Kevin, why don't you handle that for tonight, because people obviously are freaking out at the opportunity to see these guys live.
Tonight at the Whiskey, this is happening. Tonight at, I don't even know what time it is, but at 10 a.m.
Doors at 7.
Doors at 7, thank you. You have to be down at the Whiskey today at 10 a.m. to get a wristband. And the tickets are only $20.
Yes, the people's price of $20.
The people's price. I feel like you guys could play a bigger venue.
And well, actually, Chuck chose this one because in the long, illustrative career of Public Enemy, he's never been on that stage
before. Oh, is that right?
Yeah. We will be breaking his whiskey virginity.
Okay.
Tonight.
Maybe in more ways than one.
No. Yeah. And the tickets are the people's price of $20, and 100% of the proceeds from both the ticket sales and from the merch on sale goes to PATH, an organization here in Los Angeles, People Assisting the Homeless.
Oh, that's very nice. All right, so be in line at the Whiskey at 10 o'clock this morning, and you're able to buy your tickets tonight. It has to be in person. No website, no phone, nothing. Be there in person, in line to get your tickets.
One wristband per customer. That's very important.
That's correct, because we want to keep the scalping stuff from happening. Yeah.
All right, so talk about how, I mean, everybody makes sense being in this band. You guys have all been friends for a long time, and you're certainly compatible musically. But how was the decision made? Tell us how the group came together. Like, where did it start? Whose idea was it? Who made the first phone call?
This is out of Tom Morello's mind.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So Tom was...
And happy birthday, by the way, belated.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, it was yesterday, right, Tom?
Yes, it was. Thank you very much. Thanks.
All right, so Chuck, so Tom calls you out of the blue?
Yep. And says this is a great idea. A couple of years ago, we collabed on a at the end of the Grammys before they cut us for the United Airlines commercial. Damn, United Airlines.
So we want to finish what we started.
Yeah, that's what we started. So I've been swirling in Tom's head because it was me, LL, Cool J, Travis Barker, Z-Trip, and me and Tom. And, you know, we did a song and it's been swirling.
Part of a song.
Yeah. Right. And Tom had it swirling, so made a phone call and, you know, went from there.
I assume it was a pretty quick phone call. I assume it was, hey, Chuck.
Chuck was a reluctant bride.
Was
yeah.
it?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Tom talked to my wife, and my wife convinced me, like, you
better
get out there and work. So that's pretty much how that happened.
All right. Real, how about you?
You know, oddly enough, I didn't get the original call from these guys. I had gotten a call from somebody who, you know, as a mutual friend, I said, hey, they might be possibly calling you. I'm like, yeah, right, get out of here. But, you know, because we've been friends for a long time, and we've done many shows together and a few collaborations here and there. But I got more of the, you know, that beauty pageant thing. Like, I got freaked out by it, but, you know, I jumped at the chance because I've wanted to play with these guys for a long time in any form. So this seemed like the best way. And when they told me Chuck was involved, and I finally got the call or text from Tom and Brad.
Chuck,
I was like, this
call.
Is real.
Chuck. Why did you get a call? You got a text?
What's up with that?
Come on.
We've been friends a long time.
Yeah, we're on a textual relationship. Let's be real.
Emoji, just like a thumbs up.
No, well, he texted me saying that he was going to call me.
Okay.
Oh, and then Brad followed up. He's like, has Tom called you? I said, this must be real. No pun intended.
No pun intended.
And sure enough, I went down and met with the guys, and we talked about what was going to happen, and then eventually we started rehearsing. And
you and Sendog came out with these guys at the Olympic Auditorium. That was one of the highlights of
life.
It was so
awesome.
Great.
Yeah, Big Top Locals, I think it was called or something like that.
So good.
Yeah, it was long ago. It was crazy. It was the outside of the Olympic Auditorium, and it was a wild show. But, you know, I had seen these guys early on, you know, when we were about to put out the Black Sunday record, and that's how I met them. And then we just started sort of, talking about doing things. We went on a tour together, and then we did their show. And then we also did the Beastie Boys with Rage at Dominguez Hills. And right there, I think those particular shows, we really bonded and became friends for all this time.
These two guys, Be Real and Chuck D, were two of the biggest influences on Rage Against the Machine. We were huge fans of theirs before we became friends of theirs. And, mm-hmm. The first Cypress cassette was in everybody's car when we were writing the music for the first Rage Against the Machine record. And there's no group in the universe that was more influential on Rage than Public Enemy.
Was it a crazy moment when you met Chuck? For the first time.
Yeah, that was...
I mean, it's...
Well, that was like 91, one of our 104 tours.
By the way, Chuck's not exaggerating. They've been on that many tours.
And many countries, too. Rage actually was coming through the Epic situation on Sony. At one time, we talked about this the other day.
Yeah, we were all on Sony.
We were all on Sony. So, you know, things kind of crossed into each other. And, and we played some shows together. And that's when we, it's like, wow, this is a different element. And myself and Be Real from Cypress Hill, we were the two first rap groups that had mosh pits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, Rage, they're the godfathers of mosh.
I've been in those mosh pits, believe me. Oh, yes.
Oh, my God.
I was actually in the mosh pit at the Olympic show. Like the one where we came on for Killaman. Before I came on stage, I was actually in the mosh pit, like going wild. They're like, what are you doing here?
Yeah. Now, was this a, I don't know how much time Prophets of Rage will take away from your day jobs, but Chuck, you're out on the road with Public Enemy. You guys have a very busy schedule. Cypress Hill, same deal. Did you guys have to like press pause on all that for right now?
Well, I've quit.
You quit.
No, I mean, I'm a Gemini. We like to juggle things. We multitask. So, and my brothers are stoked about this, so I'm just on a mission to juggle this thing. And, this is 25 years for Cypress Hill, too. So it's a big year, man. Prophets of Rage. I got this going on and we're doing all this together, man.
It's beautiful.
And Chuck, you too juggling?
Yeah, well, same thing that Be Real same said. Thing. I just came from London yesterday, so
wow, super trooper.
Look, this is a Woodstock moment for us, and it has to start somewhere. It has to start sometime. What better place than here? What better time than now? Right?
Somebody should write that down. The wise man said.
In this year, 2016, going on into supposed to be a clear year, 2020. No one knows why not, and. This is our Crosby, Stills, and Nash Woodstock moment and our Led Zeppelinizing of the 21st century. Why not? Why not?
Why not? And, why not indeed?
And while it's an honor to play with these guys, and we've all had mutual respect for some time, and it's a lot of laughs here in the studio, this band is coming together. This is a mission. You know, like we're here. There's a particular historical moment that demands a response from the music that we've made in our careers and the music that we're making together. That's
I want
why,
you to pause. I want you to pause right there, Tom. Yeah. We have to take a very quick break. And I know that you guys are dangerous times demand dangerous songs. I know that's what Prophets of Rage is all about. And we want to find out more about that. Why now? Talk a little bit more about what to expect at the show tonight at the Whiskey. The band is Prophets of Rage. Tom, Tim, Brad, Chuck, and B-Real are all here on K-Rock. We'll be right back. You picked a good day to tune into the Kevin and Bean Show. Prophets of Rage in our studio. Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Chuck D is here. B-Real, our longtime friend who almost got us arrested on that 420 broadcast about 20 years ago, if you recall, Kevin.
I do.
Also, Tom, Tim, and Brad from Rage Against the Machine. Together, they are Prophets of Rage. They are playing the Whiskey tonight. Tickets go on sale at 10 o'clock this morning. One per person in line, no online, no telephone. Be there in line to buy your tickets to see the show at the Whiskey. As we mentioned, doors open at 7. All right, Tom, I had to cut you off. Why now? Why is it so essential that Prophets of Rage exist in June, almost June of 2016?
Yeah, well, dangerous times do demand dangerous songs, and this historical moment is really unprecedented. I mean, it's both the country and the world are on like the brink of the abyss, and we thought it was wholly irresponsible of us to be sitting on the sidelines when we have a catalog of material like we do between the three of us to go out and, you know, fight the power, to take the power back, to bring the noise, to rise up, to just use four, you know, four songs we may or may not be playing tonight. but it's really a historical necessity, you know, that, you know, each in our individualized and in our different projects, you know, we're involved in social justice and political action, but together, you know, it makes a pretty strong fist, and we want to enter this fray. I mean, the last time Rage played in Los Angeles, we outdrew Trump, Clinton, and Bernie Sanders by about a margin of three times. And so, you know, this is not just music. This is a movement that we are embarking on starting tonight at the Whiskey.
What is it you hope fans will walk out of the Whiskey and do tonight after they are energized by the songs they'll see you sing?
I think they'll be inspired. I think they'll wake up. And, you know, people that want change have to get involved in it. And if this is one way we can inspire people to do that, it'd be great.
And I think it's important that there are alternative voices. I've seen numerous news articles about how Donald Trump or Bernie Sanders, their campaigns are raging against the machine. Well, we're about to set the record straight on that front.
You know, I saw your tweet. That made me laugh so hard.
You can come to the source on that one, and we're going to explain what that really means. You know,
I'm going to cut to the chase. Yes. I'm going to say, look, man, being in front of the stage, and look, Harry Belafonte said you can cage the singer, but you can never cage the songs. It takes me and B-Real to do Rageified Zach De La Rocha songs. So homage and salute out to him. And also, the way that Tom and Brad on them drums and Timmy C on that bass, I mean, when they line up as musicians, there's nothing like them on the planet. And that's me saying that. I've been raging since 1960. So I'm serious. So that's just the honor and joy of it, and everything on top of it will just come hard and hard. So that's that.
Yeah, and I could say, you know, going into the first rehearsals, yeah, there was a nervousness that I had because, I mean, they're powerful musicians, you know, and like he said, we're in there, you know, busting out Zach's words and lyrics, and, you know, as a fan, you appreciate it, but when you're actually with these guys and getting down to the business, you appreciate and know what the songs are on a different level, and you feel that power when it's coming together.
So let's talk about Zach for just one second. Tom, I'm sure you had a conversation with him about this, or Brad, or Tim?
No, I spoke with him, yeah.
And he was fine? And
yeah.
How did the conversation go? Just we wanted to do something?
It was great. Let him know what's going on, and got his blessing, which was cool.
Yeah.
And yep. Chuck and I both spoke with him, and so did B.
Yeah.
And it feels really good. Like, I love that guy.
Yeah, we assumed that had to happen before all of this could come together, so yeah. It's really great that it did.
Yeah, and, you know, this is not Rage Against the Machine, and this is not Cypress Hill or Public Enemy. It's a super group, one of the greatest super groups ever, and want to be recognized as that. I'm a serious dude. I take this as serious as that Warriors Oklahoma City game.
Oh yeah,
awesome! I don't play around, man. I don't play around. You so when somebody comes, I mean, I turn up my black stuff all the way up. Like, my skin is noise.
Your skin is
noise.
All right, I never in my adult life have I ever disagreed with Chuck D until this moment.
Is that right?
And I'm, yeah, and I'm going to – the only thing in that I disagree with is, like, I don't believe that this is a supergroup. I look at it like it's an elite task force of revolutionary musicians come together at a historical moment to stir it up.
Right.
And that sounds super to me.
What I meant to say was, I apologize. I agree with everything that Chuck D said.
We had the idea of getting Superman suits and performing with those on.
Whose idea was that?
Probably mine.
Yeah. The songs that you're going to be doing, you're going to be doing Rage songs, you're going to be doing Public Enemy, you're going to be doing Cypress Hill, right? All?
We're drawing freely from the catalogs, as well as we're Rageifying some stuff, we're Public Enemyifying some stuff, we're Cypress Hillifying some stuff, and then there's some fresh content as well.
Really? Yeah.
Now, what's that mean, Tom?
What's that mean? Number one, B-Real's my shaman, right? So okay. I follow his lead, and you're looking at three of the greatest musicians of our time. So anything is possible.
Okay. I want to go back to something that Tom said, talking about using music for social change. Chuck, you were there back in the 1980s. I mean, you were the Black CNN. You know,
I'm from 1960. I was born August 1st, 1960. I remember being sent home from school when Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated in Memphis on April 4th, 1968. So it's not just about the 80s during R&B stood for Reagan and Bush.
No, I understand that you personally have always been very socially aware, but I'm just talking about the impact that the PE records made on the public in the 1980s. I mean, you kind of saw firsthand how much music can change people. You guys had a real impact on the world back then with those records.
It's a big world out there. I've been to 105 countries.
Yep.
How big an impact is around the world. Just like each one of these musicians can say, it's not just about the United States of America, which is one out of 215 countries. I'm an Earthicin. I'm a citizen of no place but the planet Earth. But we have to also keep in mind, this year is confusing to the rest of the planet, what's going on here, right here and now in the United States of America.
It's confusing to us here now.
Well, we got to do something about it. You know? We got to make America rage again.
Now, let me ask you guys a question about social change. You guys have been doing this for a long time, and does it get frustrating that things don't change quicker? That don't make more progress?
There's different ways to judge progress. I mean, I made progress when I listened to Public Enemy when I was growing up, and I found voices that echoed the sentiments in my head that I heard nowhere in the public discourse, that I didn't hear on the news, that I didn't read about in the paper. Same with bands like The Clash, and I think that Rage Against the Machine, P.E. and Cypress Hill, have had that impact on people as well. It's in this historical moment, I think it's important to connect with people who, right, left, and center across the political spectrum, people realize that something's just not right, that the things that are going on in the system do not serve the needs of the country and of the people. So they look for these kind of extreme, demagogic, racist solutions on the one hand, or this kind of utopian vision, Bernie Sanders on the other hand, or they cling desperately to the lesser of two evils, somewhere in the middle. And our music has always said, you do not have to settle for that. Our hands are on the wheel of history. And whatever you do, don't leave your views behind in your vocation. We just happen to be musicians. And so we're going to express ourselves through music, whether you're a disc jockey or whether you're a college student or whether you're a carpenter. To bring who you are into what you do is how change starts.
Would you ever get into politics? Because I'm voting for you now.
Well, I would argue that I've been in politics since I was 16 years old. But I was the scheduling secretary for U.S. Senator Alan Cranston for 2 years. So I got to see how the sausage is made from the shop floor. And it is disgusting. Mm-hmm. It's disgusting. And the entire system is tainted. One, the system is suspect to begin with. And then it's completely tainted with how it's bought and paid for.
It's one big blood sausage.
But for a guy, for an old guy from Wyoming, Alan Cranston seemed pretty cool to me. No?
Alan Cranston was he was as progressive as you get then, but even someone like I, it was all about asking rich people for money. That's the gig.
Let me ask you one more question before we have to take a break. And if you're just joining us here on K-Rock, shame on you, because we've been talking to Prophets of Rage here on the Kevin DeBean Show and streaming through Facebook Live. And that is, a lot of people have made note of the Donald Trump for President sign in your video, Rage Against the Machine video for Sleep Now in the Fire from, 16 years ago. Do you remember how that came up in the video? Like, who's what was the message there of putting that that poster in the video that time?
I'd love to hear from Brad Wilk. Is he looking handsome this morning?
Yes, he is.
I haven't heard from him yet.
I just want to hear Chuck talk. He's mesmerizing.
He is. Isn't
that voice. He just, what do you do?
I used to have the deepest baritone in the band, but now I got trumped.
Yeah,
I got trumped.
What were you trying to say? Were you trying to make fun of something that was so ridiculous it would never happen? Is that what you were doing?
That had to be it.
Michael Moore directed that video, and I remember at the time. Funny. I mean, it was something that was, you know, it was a joke.
It was a joke.
It was a joke.
And almost, I remember that. Almost too goofy.
Yeah.
Almost,
yeah,
right? It's too far out there. And then all of a sudden. Now, you guys have been following, I'm sure, the election and the entire cycle and going through the exact same thought process that we are, which is, you know, Donald Trump's going to drop out. There's no possible way. And then every month, it just builds and builds and builds. It's a crazy surprise that we're in this position that we're in right now.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
No, I just think you're surprised because you're that age. But you've had a couple of generations that have come since 1999 who have a different understanding of how to look at this society. And they have to be told about this atmosphere and how dangerous it could be for them. That's my point of view.
All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll leave it there for now. Don't forget, if you're just joining us and you missed this announcement, tickets are on sale at 10 o'clock this morning at the Whiskey in person to get a wristband for the show tonight with Prophets of Rage. Doors open at 7. My God, what a night that's going to be in that tiny little room seeing these five guys on stage, right? Can you even imagine?
We're excited.
Yeah. We'll take a very quick break, come back one more with the band Prophets of Rage right after this on K-Rock.
It is the band Prophets of Rage.
Yeah, it is. Be Real is here. Our friend from Cypress Hill, Chuck D, the legend from Public Enemy, and Tom, Tim, and Brad from Rage Against the Machine, all in studio here on The Kevin and Bean Show, also streaming Facebook Live through K-Rock's Facebook page or The Kevin and Bean Facebook page. Is it too early or inappropriate to ask what the future is beyond tonight of Prophets of Rage, you guys?
I would say it's not too early, but it is inappropriate.
Here's what I know. I know that you can ask. You can ask, but you will get no answer.
You can ask anything you want.
Are we on a day-by-day basis? Is that how this thing is rolling
Until out? Trump's elected, we still have freedom of speech. So you can ask. I'd say get in all your questions right now.
It's a lot of work for one show. That's all I'm saying. All the rehearsals and everything that you guys have done, showing up here this morning, it's a lot of work for one show.
So today, the whiskey. Tomorrow, the world.
Tomorrow, the world.
Be patient, right, Bean.
So
be
say
patient.
No more. Now, you guys have done a lot of rehearsal. We were talking about that off the air. How much? How much time have you spent in the studio? How difficult is it?
I think I was gone for a few weeks on a Cypress tour. But before that, we were in there for, 2-3 weeks? And then when got back, we just, you know, hunkered down, and for the last month, I think we've been in there.
Wow.
Close to a month.
How did this not leak at all? That is amazing.
Well, you know, you bribe the right people.
Got it.
I think we want it to be a great thing, a great performance. So, you know, that's what we focused on, trying to, you know, get in there and be the best we can so that when we get out there, it sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's not about cover. It's about certain inflections. It's about being able to take things into the future, you know, and also be able to grab enough elements in it and to make something out of it. This is Prophets of Rage, so we have to, you know, have our identity, and that takes quite a bit of rehearsing. And trust me, man, this is like getting ready for the World Series. I mean, we take it with that much. This is bigger than the NBA Finals to us.
Yeah. Let me ask you guys a musical question, and for Chuck and for Be Real, what's it like playing with a rhythm section that is so different from the one that you're used to playing with in your other band?
Well, I think Chuck and I can agree on this. You know, it feels like, you know, we got invited to play with Black Sabbath or Led Zeppelin. I mean, to me, Rage is that of our generation. And, you know, to be asked to be a part of this, Prophets of Rage, it was an honor, you know. So to be up there with them, like I said, when I got to the first rehearsal, I knew some of the songs. I didn't know them that well as a performer and whatnot. I knew him as a fan, and, you know, I had to get that nervous energy out. But once it started going, you know, I felt real comfortable with these guys. And I mean, it's an honor right now to sit here with all of them, you know, with Chuck, who was my idol growing up. We always said, you know, when we came out as Cypress Hill, that we were just the reverse version of Public Enemy. We didn't have the same politics and whatnot, but the way their Get Down was very influential to Cypress Hill as far as production, as far as the way we would put our, you know, go back and forth between Sendog and I. So to be here, to be able to do this with Chuck and Brad, Tom, and Tim, man, I mean, it's just, no words can explain it in full. I could just say that it's an honor, and I'm excited for tonight.
Now, are you both on vocals all the time, or does one of you take one song and another?
We shall leave that to surprise.
There's going to be the reveal. The reveal will be tonight.
Seriously. We just want some information.
And also, you got an awful lot of information, man.
And also with DJ Lord, a world turntablist with Public Enemy. Sick. He's been with 16 years. So, we're coming up with an alchemy that's it's going to be really interesting. It's fun for me.
That's the right word, is alchemy. It's like in each of our individual groups, Rage, Cypress Hill, and Public Enemy, the thing that they have in common is they're uncompromising and they're unapologetic in their art. And so the challenge is to find what is the chemistry with this group of musicians who have enjoyed great chemistry in their, you know, sort of home court. And that's why we rehearsed for a long time. We didn't take it for granted. It's not like you just plug in a piece or plug in this and that. It's like, what is this band and how do we make this band stand and surpass our best work?
You know, I told my group, I said, I love y'all, we all together, but I'm going to the All-Star game.
I'll bet your group loved that.
Well, you know, hey.
I've been selected for the All-Star game this year. Sorry, guys.
You're on the travel team.
You guys are.
All right, so here's what we know. We know Prophets of Rage. We know Tonight at the Whiskey. We know tickets go on sale at 10 a.m. You have to be down at the Whiskey to do it. $20 is all the tickets go for. And then the countdown.
Dot, dot, dot.
And then the countdown clock will.
The countdown clock, I believe, is done.
It's over.
And
okay.
A new countdown has begun.
That was my question.
Yes. Ooh, if you refer to the. No, I mean literally.
No, literally. Okay, yeah.
I'm not being poetic. Like, the second countdown's happening. Turn on your interweb.
All right. Well, I guess I guess we're in wait and see mode then. So if you're lucky enough to be there tonight, have a great time, and then for the rest of us, we'll just see what happens next. It's too good to be true, you guys, that this is happening. We're so excited. We're so pleased that you came by to share it with us here this morning.
We feel the same way about it being too good to be true. You know, I mean, just for me to be able to, you know, play with Tim and Brad again. It's been some time since we've rocked a stage and rocked rehearsal, and there's nothing like it. Like, I've had a lot of musical experiences in a wide variety of genres, and there's absolutely nothing like playing these riffs with these guys. It's incredible, and it's going to be, the fury is about to be unleashed.
And welcome to the All-Star game, Tom.
and I got to say, you know, when we first started, when Tom and I spoke, you know, the one thing that came up was, you know, the world needs this music right now, this particular message, because there's nothing with substance, nothing speaking to what's going on right now. And this was the perfect
Bieber
time.
I mean, let's not forget about Bieber.
I mean, you know, hey, the biggest influence in the world. But, you know, we felt like this music was a great voice for right now. You know, it's timeless, and the words were never more relevant, and the power of the music. So I think we're all very excited to get this jumping off.
This electoral season is like an ideological cage match, and a new competitor is just about to enter the ring.
Great to see you guys again.
Love
Be
that.
Real, it's been too long, man. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks.
Chuck D, we are so honored to have you at K-Rock. Thank you for being here, sir. Tom, Tim, Brad, we love you guys, always do. Have fun tonight. We'll talk again soon, all right?
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:51.
Speaking of 21 Pilots, by the way, we're giving away tickets to go see them at the Honda Center next February. And you're also
Why are you yelling at us?
Because I just can't believe we're giving away something for 8 months from now.
Well, some people have to make plans, Bean. They have busy lives.
I got to get a sitter.
Okay, that's fine. Well, listen, the reason we're doing it now is because when you win those tickets, you will also be qualified to see the band at the Reading Festival in England. It's destination number 2 of the K-Rock Festival Flyaway 2016. Your chance at all of that at 9 o'clock this morning. And before the end of the show, we're also going to give away some tickets to Prophets of Rage, who just left the studio tonight at the Whiskey. How about
and
that?
And we have a grand prize winner for the weekend. In last week's Festival Flyaway 2016, destination number 1 is Life is Beautiful in Las Vegas. Dawn Heckman. From Pasadena, one. So congratulations to her.
And
it's time for the showbiz.
Before I get to the showbiz beat, there's a heartwarming story, I thought. A 96-year-old man saved a person's life from choking last week using the Heimlich maneuver.
Aww. Wow.
It was the first time this gentleman had ever tried the Heimlich maneuver, but... He said he knew about it, and he was excited to try it, and he was happy that he was able to save the life of his 87-year-old friend. Wouldn't necessarily be such an interesting story, except the 96-year-old man is named Dr. Henry Heimlich.
Yay!
Inventor of the Heimlich maneuver.
Yay!
The kids love it.
He had never used the Heimlich maneuver on anyone to save anyone's life before.
No,
really? He had never used it in a practical setting. He invented it. He figured it out that it would work, but he himself never saved anyone's life.
Do you think he walked around his entire life
just
looking
hoping,
for
someone?
Right?
Joke.
Somebody please joke.
I invented this.
Hey, that's a big piece of meat. Try it.
Eat it. He is now 96 years old, lives in a retirement home. And an 87-year-old friend of his started to choke, and he used his patented maneuver and saved the guy's life.
I love it so much.
Your story is a beautiful story. From my point of view, it's a beautiful story. I love your story.
86 years old. It's like I didn't snap that guy in half.
It was a lady.
Right?
What, Pete? I said it was a lady.
Oh.
More so. No, I'm saying.
Lady. It's a great story.
It was a lady. Her name was Ethel. She was a great lady. Loved her.
She drives a Hyundai. Amazing. She's still driving at her age.
She enjoys reading.
You should see her knit. I have one of her cozies. I bought it from Etsy.
I didn't say any of those
things.
Couldn't
you just drown?
No, but you know all of that.
Come on. Couldn't, isn't that an option?
Just drown?
Yeah.
In what? In his tub?
Well, I don't know.
Just anywhere?
Pick a body of water.
All right.
If I do, I hope the guy that invented saving people from drowning is standing nearby. I'll tell you that.
I think so, too. I think that'd be the cat's pajamas.
I'm sorry for the realness.
Yeah, I am, too. Yeah. I wish I was in Dublin over the weekend.
Same. Why?
Springsteen was playing there. Mm. Springsteen and the E Street Band doing a little gig in Dublin over the weekend. And a gentleman strolled onto stage to join in the band by the name of Bono.
That makes sense.
Yeah, but still.
I mean, yeah.
Springsteen,
sure.
And then Bono comes on stage.
Right.
You're done, right?
In Dublin,
that point,
that's pretty cool.
You're finished.
Yeah.
Together they did a rousing rendition of Because the Night. A song, of course, written by the Boss, but made famous by Patti Smith. So,
And then they kissed.
They didn't kiss.
Oh,
stop with your fan fiction.
No.
Kanye West, California recording studio was robbed over the weekend. Someone stole $20,000 worth of recording equipment. Kanye is now asking Mark Zuckerberg to give him $20,000 so he can buy new recording equipment. Police say they think the thief may have been a music fan because he stole all of the equipment but didn't touch any of Kanye's actual recordings. Just left them behind. He's the worst. Let's take a look at the weekend's box office. 4-day Memorial Day weekend. X-Men Apocalypse came in at number 1 with $80 million. Behind it, Alice Through the Looking Glass debuted with $35 million. That made it number 2. The Angry Birds movie, Captain America Civil War, and Neighbors 2 were the top 5 films. Then Jungle Book, The Nice Guys, Money Monster, Love and Friendship, and Zootopia at number 10. Love and Friendship. Anybody know what Love and Friendship is?
I don't.
Anything?
Don't know what the Bean doesn't know?
Oh, I know what that is.
I know.
It's a romantic comedy, one of those British romantic comedy movies.
Okay.
The movie Love and Friendship is about romance?
You're like Columbo. He's going out on a limb on this one.
No, I read about it.
Sorry, I think this love movie may be about romance.
Kate Beckinsale is in it. And Chloe Sevigny.
Story by Jane Austen.
There you go. That's it. That's it. That's the one.
That's it.
Tonight on TV, America's Got Talent returns with Simon Cowell in the coveted judge's chair.
Huh.
That's going to be exciting.
Huh. What's your level of interest in seeing Simon Cowell on your TV at this point?
I always find him entertaining.
All right. I do too, but I'm not going to watch the show.
Okay. There we go. Not that entertaining.
Right.
Scream season premieres tonight on MTV. And on NBC, this is a show I am excited about. This is it's going to be great, or it's going to be a swing and a miss, but I'm going to give it a chance. NBC's brand new variety series is going to be co-hosted by Maya Rudolph and Martin Short. Not necessarily a team you would automatically put together, but they are teaming up as a duo to host a comedy variety show.
Hmm.
Tonight's guests, Miley Cyrus, Tom Hanks, Larry David, and Jimmy Fallon.
That
will guest star on the first
very
show.
Very interesting crew.
Lorne Michaels, of course, the brain behind Saturday Night Live, was the executive producer of this show as well. So I'm going to give it a shot. See
what happened to Amy Winehouse?
I don't know. Don't understand. Sure, it'll come to me. Today's celebrity birthdays: Andy Hurley, drummer for Fall Out Boy, 36 years old today. Colin Farrell turns 40. Phil Kogan, Amazing Race host, is 49 years old. Actress Brooke Shields is 51. Daryl McDaniels, DMC of Run DMC, turns 52. Leah Thompson, we all fell in love with her as Marty McFly's mom in the Back to the Future films. She was also in that
Some Kind of Wonderful,
right? Yeah,
the
she was
best.
Great in that.
Amanda Jones.
Okay. Take it easy.
All
it's
right.
One of my favorite movies.
It's okay. Someone give her a biscuit. She's 55 years old today. Nice Foley work. Chris Elliott is 56. And legendary actor, director, icon Clint Eastwood celebrates his 86th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Look, I enjoyed the long holiday weekend as much as the next guy, but I'd be lying if I told you I wasn't looking forward to this moment on Tuesday, because this is when we do the Bachelorette Report. Hit it, Steve.
Well, his name is Ralph Garman, and he claims to be a man. With Petra's papa thinking, so he's holding hands, kissing and hugging at sunset, watching the Bachelorette. How can you watch that TV show? It both sucks. About the Bachelorette?
Right?
How can one program have the best person in the world and the worst person in the world on it at the same time?
Wow.
Speaking which one's the best and which one's the worst?
Well, you know, I heart JoJo deeply. I am.
I saw her in person last week.
What?
Yeah, Dodger Stadium. She threw out the first pitch.
Oh.
How was her arm?
Not bad. She's from Texas. But you know what? Those bolt-ons, you know, it's kind of hard to throw past those things.
You stop it right
it's
now.
It's kind of like throwing through a cubicle.
You know, it's funny. You asked me who the best person was, yet you didn't seem to have any question about who the worst person in the world was, Pete.
Well, you know, to be honest with you, this guy is horrible. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Being around somebody like that, and I played football, so, you know, half the team is like Chad.
We're talking about Chad, of course.
Chad.
Yes, Chad.
But what he's saying is not wrong. You know, they've been there 2 or 3 days, and these guys are acting like they're in love with the girl. They don't even know her, and he's right about that, but he is a douche.
Although many of us fell in love with her last season, P.
Well, I mean, come on. We watch a TV show. We're talking about getting married. Come on, Ralph. Chad is being realistic.
But in the early stages,
while eating copious amounts of charcuterie.
In the early stages of this show, these dates are supposed to be about fun and romance. You're supposed to play along and sort of roll around and just engage in the fun frivolity of it all.
Right.
The Chad is a humorless muttonhead who will do nothing but drink protein shakes and eat meat.
He pulled a great move, though. He got his weight belt with a big chain, and he hooked it to his suitcase and did pull-ups, weighted pull-ups in front of all the guys just to prove like what an alpha he was.
P's not kidding. He took his suitcase, and what did he fill his suitcase with, P?
Oh, whey protein powder and things of that nature.
Giant jars of protein powder in a suitcase, and then he chained that to his waist and then was doing pull-ups to work out.
See, I grew up like this. This is how my older brother was. I used to have to, I swear, hold a 45-pound plate, sit on his shoulders while he did calf raises on the family staircase.
Wow. You should have chipped in and got him a membership at a gym.
A lot of memories came back.
This is a much longer conversation that needs to be had.
Chad is an incredible douchebag, but he has made friends with the other incredible douchebag in the house, which is Daniel. Daniel is the Canadian male model.
Oh, is that Beans?
This is my pick.
Pick in the draft.
Right?
He might be the dumbest Canadian in the world.
I absolutely agree. And they had one challenge where they had to train as firefighters.
Okay.
It's like, you know, love can be hot, you know, and then all the guys get together up there at Rio Hondo and they strapped on the firefighter gear and they put them through actual firefighter training. And so Daniel, the dumb Canadian, had to put a hose over his shoulder and run a distance carrying this heavy fire hose.
Okay.
Well, here was Daniel's take on working with his hose.
The last time I pulled hose like that was probably back home when I was at my apartment.
Oh.
That was the producers, by the way, who just killed the music after he did that.
They did the right thing.
The last time he pulled hose like that, you see.
Yeah.
You can see why he's my choice.
Chad is fixated on protein shakes. It's really all about protein shakes for Chad.
He's not there for love, Ralph?
Well, I don't think so. I think he's there for the free meat. He's constantly eating meat. And everything is compared to a protein shake for him.
Okay.
Life is one big protein shake. Here is Chad breaking down how he's so much better than the other guys in the house.
If you were making a protein shake made of the group of dudes here.
Yeah.
And then, you know, blended it up.
What kind of shake
would
you get?
Half of that dude protein shake would be like
all the same.
I'd have zero chance.
What? I'm lost. I'm completely lost.
What?
That half the protein shake has zero chance to make you swole.
Right.
Okay. Oh, I see.
Shake is useless. It's just fodder. It might as well be ice. You know.
Exactly.
I understand. You know what was interesting to me, Ralph, is that the fireman won the fireman challenge.
Yeah, it seemed a little unfair, didn't it? That Grant actually walked away with the fireman challenge.
Yeah, it's like Mikhail Baryshnikov wins Dancing with the Stars this year.
And then things got heated as they got closer to the rose ceremony. I was at the protein shake ceremony. The rose ceremony.
When was the last time you had a protein shake? Just to really pump yourself up.
I can't remember the last time.
I feel like P and Chad could be buddies.
I think so.
Listening to this conversation.
I think P and Chad are soulmates, perhaps.
Right?
Me, I relate to Alex, the scrappy little Marine who wants to do the right thing and wants people to behave properly in an orderly fashion. And Alex and
Oceanside Alex is, God bless him, and I like him better than I like Chad, but he is a head shorter than everybody in the house.
He's not a tall guy.
Other than that, he's great, but he is literally a head shorter. Tom Cruise short.
But he's an American hero, P.
You're right.
And he wants what's right, and he wants people to behave in a proper fashion, and he is the only one man enough to stand up to Chad. And Chad does not like that.
You for real.
Okay.
I'm serious.
Hey, cool, bro. Cool. Just don't go over there.
Keep that up. You're going to lose your damn teeth.
Hey, don't touch me, dude. Don't touch me. You think I'm scared of you, bro?
I think you are. I think you should be.
I can promise you I'm not scared of you, dude. You are the most disrespectful dude in this entire house. Every single person here knows it. You're a meltdown.
You're a meltdown, Chad.
Oh. Ralph, I want to see a supercut of the line, "You think I'm scared of you, bro," from every single episode of The Bachelorette.
Here's the thing, Alex.
It doesn't usually get that physical, you know.
Not in week two.
No, and guys don't usually bow up on each other. The thing that frightens me is we're actually rooting for the guy that has a tattoo on his arm of the Statue of Liberty, except she's a skullhead.
Wait, what?
Like, it's like I used to play football with a guy that had the Purdue mascot on his stomach, but it had the head of a dog, right?
Okay.
It's like that. It's a Statue of Liberty tattoo.
Right.
But instead of the Statue of Liberty's feminine face,
right,
she's a skull.
Right.
And that's the guy we're rooting for.
Yes.
Just to make that clear.
Because he will die for liberty, my friend. That's what that means.
Okay.
Okay.
Alex is like Captain America. And Chad is like Hydra.
I think there was like a temple poke in there too, Ralph.
Oh, there was. There was a temple poke, and it's gonna go off. And here's the thing. Chad may be big and swole and drink a lot of protein shakes, but Alex was a damn Marine.
Yeah.
You don't want to mess with a Marine.
Agreed, yeah.
No, I think Alex could probably do some weird grappling stuff to him, but Chad is pretty swole.
He's pretty
striated in the chest, as we would say.
Hey, guys, was JoJo on the show at all last night?
Well, JoJo was giving out the roses, you know, and Chad was kept giving out roses. Chad was at the bottom, wasn't getting a rose, wasn't getting one. So he realized, he said, look, if I don't get a rose, this is what's going to happen.
If I were to go home tonight, it would absolutely make no sense. I would just turn it off as she has an issue, not me. I would probably end up confronting her, being like, that's you know you like me. I can see it in her eyes. She's interested in me.
Wow.
Yeah, Chad.
Wow. Is that every man you ever met? Wow.
He is a nightmare.
Yeah. But you know what he's going to do when he wins? He's going to sweep her up and take her back home to the beautiful wonderland known as Tulsa, Oklahoma.
You know what he's not going to do? He's not going to write her any love songs. He told us that last night after he got a rose. Here's what he's going to do.
Guys are all acting like they've never met a beautiful girl before.
I will not write her a song about how much I love her. Yeah. I'm going to have some protein shakes, keep working out, keep eating food, and just continue doing what I do.
This is going to be easy. At the end of the day, I'm going to get the girl.
He's just going to keep eating food.
Keep eating food, keep drinking protein shakes.
Keep having those protein shakes.
It's all about protein shakes.
He's chewing the whole time.
Yeah.
That part is very upsetting, that he's chewing the whole time. But you got to admit, Ralph, the way they keep cutting back to all those guys shirtless singing some dumbass song they wrote about JoJo does kind of drive home a point about the other guys.
P likes Chad.
Music,
I don't like Chad.
Music be the food of love.
Oh, God. I don't like Chad.
You
all
do.
Saying,
you like his giant platters of meat that he keeps stuffing in his face during the cocktail parties, and you like how he's doing pull-ups off the eaves outside his balcony.
I've done some weighted dips in my life.
Right?
Yeah, see?
That's true. But I like his counterculture attitude. Come on, you guys just had the Professor Rage in there. You know
right.
all about the counterculture. Fists up. Come on.
Wow. Did he just equate Chad with the Professor
Rage? Yeah, he did. He did. So who went away?
Power.
So we lost three more guys last night. Will, who...
the Bachelor Superfan?
James S., the Bachelor Superfan, and Brandon, the hipster... Kevin's choice in
Kevin.
The
fantasy
draft. Oh,
Kevin, you're out of the pool.
Brandon, the professional hipster, also went home.
No.
So, Kevin, you're no longer playing.
That's painful.
Get yourself a protein shake. And you'll bounce back. No worries.
Would you rather have
like a protein shake or one of those like green shake things that people that help them poo?
Those are two terrible choices. Like a chocolate shake. Thank you.
Can I have a beer instead?
But those things, those green shakes that help you blow it out.
Okay.
That's like the protein shake of the 80s.
I'd love to keep this conversation going.
I wouldn't.
Right. But yeah. Thank you, P.
When I come up there, I'm going to poke everybody in the temple hard.
We'll do it again.
See you, bro. Not afraid of you.
We'll do it again next week.
For real.
If you missed our interview with Prophets of Rage last hour, you can see it on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. Or you can wait for the podcast and listen to it later on tonight. They're going to be playing The Whiskey. Tickets are going on sale this morning at 10 a.m. at the box office only. Just $20. The people's price, as Tom Morello told us. No lineups prior to 10 a.m. Doors open at 7 o'clock tonight. 10 o'clock this morning in person to buy tickets to see him at The Whiskey. By the way, we have some, Kevin, to give away.
Yes.
Which don't let us forget. We want to do that before the end of the show. So sometime between 9 and 10, give you a chance to win those tickets. That's going to be an unbelievable show tonight.
Yes, it is.
How lucky are you if you're at The Whiskey tonight?
How much time did we spend asking them questions, and how much did we find out?
A lot and not a lot.
Well, that's true. That's
I mean,
accurate. But look, it was still fun.
Yes, it was. I agree.
It was still fun. All right. New topic. I think you guys are going to love this, particularly if, like me, you already hate Barry Bonds. He's the worst, right, guys?
He is the worst.
I don't know.
He's got a horrible reputation. He's just not nice.
Just to fans? He's just terrible.
To fans, to the media, just to people that breathe.
Yes. To humans. He's just an awful, awful person. And he is back in the news. I got to be completely honest with you. I thought Barry Bonds was retired and out of baseball. He is not. He is a hitting coach for the Florida Marlins right now.
Oh, maybe imagine a guy that big a dick being a coach.
I know. And, of course, he's, if I remember correctly, the greatest home run hitter of all time. So he does know a little something about swinging a bat. I guess they're called the Miami Marlins now. They changed it a couple years ago. So he is playing against – his team's playing against the Dodgers the other day. And Jock Peterson, center fielder for L.A., is a huge Barry Bonds fan. So he wanted to get a photo with him. And he told the story with Jay and Dan on Fox Sports 1. Listen to what happened.
You're a massive Barry Bonds fan, correct?
Yeah, I was. You know, I went up to him and said, hey, man, you're my favorite player. Can we get a picture? And I don't know, he kind of just turned his back on me and looked, and I don't know, he big leagued
whoa!
Bad.
Yeah.
Whoa!
Not
he
cool,
didn't
Barry
take
Bonds.
Picture?
No. Yeah, and I kind of stood there awkwardly for a little bit, and then I was kind of like, all right, well, frick. Yeah.
That's like childhood.
Yeah, it
was crushed.
Yeah, trust me. It.
So before.
I was flustered. I didn't know. I don't know how moment. I played that day because I was a mental head case.
You build this guy up in your mind.
Yeah, and like I told my dad, like, oh, like we're playing them. Like, I'm excited. Like, Barry's there. And he kind of just said,
that's too bad.
Hey, Barry, not cool.
Not cool in the
not
by
cool.
way,
not cool,
Barry Bonds, after the fact, apologized and said it was a misunderstanding. He didn't realize that he dissed Jock Peterson. But, Allie, you kind of, I mean, you had the same experience with Barry Bonds when you met him, right?
Yeah, he was awful. Went up to interview him. I was a lowly intern, so I get it. But he just, I walked up, he saw me with the microphone, with the cameraman, and just turned his back. And
that seems to be his move, is just to turn his back to you. Yeah. That's a weird move. Yeah. Even if you're a jerk, you just turn around and stay there?
Not nice.
Well, we thought it was would be an interesting phone topic because Jock Peterson, this wasn't just some random guy. This was his baseball hero. And he's also a big league player. So it's not like some, you know, annoying fan on the street. This is, you would think there'd be some professional courtesy involved in this case. That Barry Bonds would go, hey, you know what? This guy's another baseball player. I can give him 5 seconds, right?
Not cool.
Not cool indeed. So Jock Peterson got dissed by his hero, and that's the topic we're taking your calls on right now at 1-800-520-1067. You were so excited to meet someone, and they big lead you. And I'm glad Omar is here because Omar has one of our favorite stories about this happening to him. And this will kick it off at 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear your stories. And please, none of those stories better be about Kevin and Bebe. That's my biggest fear with this.
Because that's assumed. All right, Omar.
Yeah, Tim Allen big leagued me. I was a huge Tim Allen fan.
What?
By the way, yeah, huge.
What?
By the way,
And Omar took a lot of crap from us.
Absolutely.
We would harass him. We would go, really, Tim Allen? Really?
I loved Home Improvement. Loved Home Improvement.
Omar.
Oh, yeah. Couldn't get enough.
Oh,
and then Tim Allen came out with the Santa Claus movies.
Sure.
And through the station, we were lucky enough to get some premiere tickets to, I think it was a Santa Claus 2. So I take my little nephew, and we go, and we got into the after party. And Tim's there, and my little nephew's super excited to meet, you know, the Santa Claus. So I was like, all right. Normally, I don't bug people.
Right.
But I was like, my nephew wants to take a pic.
Plus, you love him.
Yeah, I love Tim Allen. Yeah. So it gave me an excuse to go up to him, right? So I go over there. I'm like, hey, you know, Mr. Allen, wouldn't you mind, you know, taking a picture? And he's all like, what? Like, what? I'm like, you know, take a picture. And he's all, oh, I'm fine. Just like that, fine.
Oh.
And then, so then, you know, I can't react, you know, how I would react because my nephew's there.
Right.
How old's your nephew?
At that time, he was probably like
six or seven. Okay.
Yeah, 6 or 7. So we take the picture, and I got to find this picture. Maybe I'll post it on my Twitter later, at DJ Omar Khan. And he has the most pissed off look, and he takes this. We snap this picture, and then we go on our way. But he was just a total dick at his premiere.
Wow. And
right?
To your nephew.
Yeah.
Your nephew thinks he's Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Yeah. You would think just
Santa's a dick.
Just for the little kid, you
right.
would think you would be. By the way, I could be completely wrong. Oh, you would know. You're the big Tim Allen fan. Isn't Tim Allen's real last name Dick?
I don't know.
I think it is. I feel like that's his real name is Tim Dick. So apparently appropriate, right?
Yeah.
All right. So who was your hero that crushed you? That's what we're looking for at 1-800-520-1067. The person that you were most excited about meeting, and then it didn't work out. You know, we had one that happened in the studio here with our former sports guy, Matt Money Smith.
Oh.
From Betcher's Money Radio Show. Remember this?
Oh, this was so good.
Lifelong Chicago sports fan, in particular the Bears, his all-time favorite sports franchise. And one time on the show, Coach Ditka was on talking about something, and Money just wanted to have that moment with the coach near the end of the call.
And he never asked for this, but he's like, just, you know, maybe I could just say hi to him and sort of just thank him for all he's done for
me. Money, you want to say goodbye to him?
Thank you so much for everything, Coach. I really appreciate it. You've given me a wonderful life.
He's gone.
Darn.
He's
gone.
He hung up.
That's so funny.
He didn't hang up on me. He hung up on you guys. You ruined my moment.
Hey, he got his plug in.
I really wanted you to have that moment with him.
Which makes it even better.
He's a better guy than we thought. So 1-800-520-1067. You were snubbed by your hero. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock. Hey, comedian Kevin Nealon joins us at 9 o'clock this morning, and we'll also give you some tickets for 21 Pilots coming to the Honda Center and qualify you for a flyaway to see them in England at the Reading Festival. That's all on the way. First, though, Jock Peterson from the Los Angeles Dodgers wanted to get a photo taken with his baseball hero, Barry Bonds. And Barry Bonds, in Jock's words, big-leagued him, turned and walked away. And that's
not
the topic.
Cool.
Not cool at all. That's the topic we're talking about right now at 1-800-520-1067. You were so excited to meet this person, and then you got big leagued. Let's start with Scott. He's in Long Beach. He's on line 7 to get us going.
All right. Hey, Scott. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Kevin. Hey, Bean. What's up?
You tell us.
Hey, so, yeah, I was working at John Wayne Airport as a skycap one time, and Adam Sandler comes through. This is about, like, the height of his career. Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore just come out, you know?
Right.
And I said, hey, you're Adam Sandler. And he's like, hey, you're not, and just walks away.
That's kind of funny, though.
I'm team Adam Sandler on this story.
I got to be honest. I think that's the good move right there.
Sorry, Scott. You get no sympathy here, but thank you for the call. Let's try line 3, please. Go down to OC and talk to our friend Anthony.
Hey, Anthony.
Hey, party people. How's it going?
Good. Thank you.
Hey, so yeah, this was when I was a kid, 8 years old. It was at the height of Knight Rider and Mr. David Hasselhoff.
Yeah.
My mom was invited to his manager's wedding, so she brought me. I was excited because, again, Knight Rider was the best thing ever.
Sure.
She goes to introduce me, and he says, not now, but he gladly took a picture with my mom and then walked away.
Is your mom hot?
So we went, what? No.
Did your mom end up in the hot tub with Mr. Hasselhoff later?
No, he was there with his wife and everything, but that brought up a bunch of issues because if there's actually a picture, the Polaroid picture, to take it that far back, of me kind of hiding in the background after he shunned me away.
Not so much for you, little Anthony. You stand over there. I'm going to take a picture with your hot mom.
I think Allie figured that one out in a hurry. All right, Anthony, great call. Thank you, sir. Let's go to line 2, La Puente. I think EJ has a similar story about when he was a little kid and met a star.
Hey, EJ.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thank you.
I was a huge Hulk fan when I was a kid, you know, like old school Incredible Hulk, Lou Ferrigno. And my mom, she took me to the LA County Fair where he would be. He was doing a signing. So she bought me this inflatable Hulk, and we waited in line. And when it's time to go see him, she's like, can we take a picture and can you sign this? He goes, $60 picture and autograph. And my mom, she's like, she froze. It's like, oh, are you serious? You're charging for autographs? And he like literally sent us away without anything.
I got to tell you, I know that a lot of reason those people do those convention type things is because they get paid for autographs. But doesn't $60 seem like a lot for Lou Ferrigno?
Yes, it does.
For a little chubby kid.
Oh, I didn't know you were chubby. That makes a difference.
He did the right thing then.
Thanks, EJ. Let's go to Irvine, line 1. This is going to be Monica up next. All right, I think the celebrity she's calling about, we all agree, is a dick, I think.
All right, Monica, hi.
Hi. I was actually working a culinary demonstration with Guy Fieri, who at the time, you know, he had a TV show and was the big package. Everybody was looking up to him.
Did you say Guy Fieri?
Guy Fieri.
Okay.
It was a long time ago, but I wound up having an allergic reaction in the kitchen while he was there, and he sent me away, didn't want me anywhere near him, was like, this chick's contagious, get out. And so I had to leave, couldn't ask him any questions, nothing. It was so upsetting.
Is it possible that he realized you were having an allergic reaction and wanted to send you away for
that? To get help?
No, I was totally fine, but it was just completely get her out of here. I don't want her anywhere near me. But it was completely rude to everybody. Wouldn't talk to any chef in, like, that wasn't in charge. It was just awful to all of us.
So you feel he could have been a little bit more sympathetic to somebody who had gotten sick off of his food?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, I got you.
All right, we're ruling in your favor.
Guy Fieri is still a dick, right?
Right, yes.
All right. Yeah. Couple more. Let's go to Montebello and Micah, line four, next on the Kevin Bean Show.
All right. Hey, Micah.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
When I was a young kid, Nolan Ryan was retiring from baseball at Angel Stadium, and I ran up to get his autograph. No other kids were around, by the way. And as I was walking with him into Angel Stadium, he put his arm around me and he said, "If I stop and sign yours, I gotta stop and sign them all." And walked into Angel Stadium.
I think he might have been right.
Absolutely, you got a hug from Nolan Ryan.
Yeah,
on his last game.
I'll take the hug, but
Micah said there was no one else around.
I'm still ruling against Micah. I'm sorry. I'm Team Nolan Ryan on this.
Micah,
one.
Were you chubby?
No, I was a skinny, scrawny.
It was a joke. You know? It was just a joke. We didn't really care about your weight. Okay.
All right. I think we have to talk to Jerry and Elsa Goodner. We have to make this right, don't we?
Sure. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, guys.
All right. What happened?
All right, so it was interesting. This happened back in the 80s, or actually early 90s, and there were these pair of local radio talent that ended up getting an engagement at E! Entertainment Television. And I just happened to have been the IT director at the time, and during a hiatus between takes, I tried to approach these two gentlemen and told them how much of a fan I was and pretty much got ignored.
Oh, Mark and Brian were dicks.
Right?
Huh?
They were dicks.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's amazing.
God, they're not on anymore. They were so mean to their fans. Why could they have been nice like we always were every time? Always. All right. Thank you for calling that to our attention, man. But
we don't have any more time.
You get the last laugh because they're off the air and they're bad people.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:55.
21 Pilots tickets coming up for you just after 9 o'clock this morning. And between 9 and 10, tickets for the hottest place in town tonight, the Whiskey for Prophets of Rage. We've got those tickets coming up in just a few minutes here on K-Rock. Ralph is here now. Time for another look at the showbiz beat on Tuesday. Come on, Ralph.
You should look into some air conditioning there, the Whiskey.
Hot,
shame,
meaning it's
a lot of people get in there and you go to watch a show. It's bad enough. You're packed in there. Next thing you're like,
it's a desirable concert.
Really
is what
sweating,
I'm
too.
I was saying.
And everybody's getting sweaty.
It will be hot, though. That is true.
It is always hot.
So...
Kevin, you've seen a few shows at the Whiskey over the years.
Only when I'm supposed to go to the Roxy.
Somebody asked.
When I see a show at the Roxy, I enjoy being at the Whiskey.
He has done that. Five people on stage plus instruments. That's pretty tight for the Whiskey stage.
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to happen. That's going to be quite something.
You know what else is tight?
Oh, Ralph.
Why would you do that, Ralph?
Like, the visual is disgusting.
I don't know. I was sort of turned on by it.
What makes them act that way?
I don't know.
Long weekend.
Not cool.
Lots of booze. Lots of booze this weekend.
Judge him. Only God can do that. But he is a perfect case point example of what we don't want to be.
Amen, God.
Boy, oh, boy, did I drink this weekend.
Did you drink some, Ralph?
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Did you have a beverage or two?
I'm exhausted. As Paul McCartney said last week, I hit the bevies.
Right.
That's what he said about his drinking problem after the Beatles broke up.
I hit the bevies.
It's the weakest way to describe getting drunk ever. Let me tell you something.
Okay.
I'm excited about this news. Dwayne The Rock Johnson... is Doc Savage.
Yay!
Kevin, of course, you know Doc Savage.
Yeah, from DC's Legends of Tomorrow. He's a doctor that only works on savages. That's my guess.
Is that right, Ralph?
That close?
I'm guessing it's not. By
good guess. Is not,
it's
not
a good close. Guess, though, I think, as
it
well, Dean. Thank
it's,
you.
It's a good guess. Savage is actually his last name.
Ah, right. And?
Doc Savage was the Man of Bronze. Legendary pulp fiction hero. Superhero. One of the original superheroes from 1930s.
Not cool.
He,
Why isn't he Bronze Man? That's a serious question. Why does he go by Doc Savage and not Bronze Man if he's the Man of Bronze?
He's not
Bronze or Brawn?
Bronze.
Oh.
He's not literally made out of the metal bronze, however.
Well, like he's Iron Man wears an iron suit. I thought Bronze Man might wear a bronze suit.
First of all, there is no Bronze Man.
I think he'd like there to be.
But he's saying this guy is bronze.
He isn't. It's like saying Superman's the Man of Steel.
Okay.
Superman's not literally made out of steel, is he?
I'm with you.
I don't think you are.
No, I'm on board.
This story for me. I was so excited.
I'm on board now. All right. So Doc Savage is what? Is going to be played in a movie by The Rock?
Yes.
Okay. That's great news.
Doc Savage was a physician, a scientist, an adventurer, an inventor, an explorer, a researcher, had a photographic memory, and a complete knowledge of all martial arts.
Wow, and was made of bronze. Man.
He was not made of bronze.
Wow.
So those of us who know the character know this is the perfect casting. And Shane Black is going to be the writer and director on this film. Man who gave us Lethal Weapon, of course.
Gotta check that out.
Recently, The Nice Guys. He's going to do a Predator reboot for Fox, and then he moves on to Doc Savage with Dwayne Johnson. So we're all very happy, regardless of what these boneheads say. It's good. It's good stuff. Ariana Grande, or if you're Kevin,
Ariana Grande.
Ariana Grande.
Why would I say it that way? I've never heard it said that way ever.
And it was the second after someone said Ariana Grande.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was bizarre. Yeah, I don't get that either.
She debuted at number 2 on the Billboard 200 this week, where her new album, Dangerous Woman, but she couldn't really celebrate. She had to cancel her performance last night at the Rock in Rio Festival in Lisbon, Portugal. Apparently, Ariana came down with a sore throat. Something was irritating her throat.
Oh, Ralph, again. With the visual.
A sinus infection, Allie. That's what I was referring to.
No, you weren't.
She posted on Instagram, I promise to make it up to you and give you the best show I'm capable of when I return. Again, I'm so sorry to my babes who are coming to see me. I love you all with my heart. Everyone responded on Instagram, stop calling us babes. It's weird. She's still wearing hat ears? Still doing that thing?
I think so. I think she still does it.
That's
yeah.
dumb.
Is that what her fans are called? Those are the Beliebers and the Swifties. They're babes?
I guess she has the babes.
Right.
The Rock and Rio Festival. That's where you were, Chip. Weren't you performing at Rock and Rio?
Rocklahoma.
Oh, Rocklahoma. That's similar. Right. It's very different. Yeah. One is in Lisbon, Portugal. The other, I'm guessing, is in Oklahoma?
Yes.
Yes. Just a guess.
Chip's was probably better, though.
Just a guess. Just like Doc. He's just a doctor for savages. It was just a guess, but I
was using all available information that
you,
I had, Ralph.
You were. He used to wear a jacket of meat, too, Doc Savage.
Is that
sometimes.
Right?
Yeah, he'd jump into gorilla cages because he was so brave. And the gorillas would go, why is that guy wearing meat? I'm not the least bit interested in that. Today's celebrity birthdays, Andy Hurley. Fallout Boy drummer, 36 years old.
Hey, bud. I just got the new Fallout Boy song on my V-Cast phone. It gets me pumped.
Colin Farrell's 40 years old today. Phil Kogan, 49 years old, host of Amazing Race, of course. Brooke Shields is 51. Daryl McDaniels, DMC of Run DMC, is 52. Leah Thompson's 55. Chris Elliott is 56. And Clint Eastwood, 86 years old today. Oh, is he having a party? He's got a room full of empty chairs, and they're all just surrounding a big cake. And he's got all of his friends there in his chairs. Remember when he talked to the empty chair?
Yeah, where
on stage?
Was that?
It was at the Republican National Convention.
I have a tiny clip of him speaking with the chair if you guys want to hear it.
Sure.
What do you want me to tell Romney? I can't tell him to do that. I can't do that to himself.
Because the chair was
See, the chair was telling Clint that Romney should go right. do something to himself.
That was one of the strangest things that's ever happened on television, isn't it?
It sure was.
And by the way, Clint Eastwood, great actor for decades, and then an even better director for decades beyond. Who would have ever foreseen this kind
and
of career?
Lovely and kind gentleman.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Talks to chairs.
I saw him chasing some Vietnamese kids off his lawn. He was very upset. He seemed like
Trino.
He was not nice.
Just a movie.
And he seemed a little racist, if you ask me.
But at the end, they were friends, Ralph.
Learned an important lesson about life and love.
Important lesson.
That's good. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show's beat.
I was going to congratulate the person, but we don't have a person yet. What's up with that for the 21 Pilots tickets?
We do. We have George Yanez from Southgate.
All right.
That's our winner.
Way to go. Congratulations. Your chance to win coming up in minutes. Details at KRock.com. Very excited to welcome our good friend Kevin Nealon back to the show. You know, I was thinking about this. Kevin is at the Irvine Improv this weekend. Kevin did the first April Foolishness 8 years ago. He was one of our very first comedians to sign on and do that show for us. And I remember how great he was. How you been, Mr. Nealon?
I've been fantastic. Thank you for mentioning that. That's all I've been thinking about since then.
Well, we do still do it every year for charity in April, and you're always invited back, Kevin, if you ever want to. We'd love to have you, man.
Oh, thank you. I wasn't sure if you guys appreciated that or not. I couldn't. What did I do? I can't remember.
Kevin Nealon is playing Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Irvine Improv. Five big shows. Tickets are available at improv.com. Just $25. Buy those tickets. So since last time we talked to you, I wanted to ask about a couple of things. First of all, your mom. You posted a photo of your mom yesterday on her birthday. She a single lady, Kevin?
No, she's not. My father's 90, and they're they've been married for 65 years, and they still hold hands. But I think that's the key from falling over, to be honest.
I'm curious as to why Bean needed to know that.
I wanted to know why Bean asked that question.
Well, you know what? I keep my eyes open for attractive single women, and I saw Kevin's mom, and I thought, would that be
What's
so
happening?
Awesome if Kevin were my son-in-law? Like, would that be the coolest? But it sounds like I got some competition.
Oh boy, I got really lucky to get her as a mother. She's the perfect mother, and you know, she's just one of those mothers that ironed my clothes every morning and made homemade lunches for school and homemade cookies and picked us up and just, you know, never complained.
That is so wonderful to still have parents that are together and alive at their age, Kevin. You're so lucky.
I know it. I know it. Believe me, every day I count my blessings.
All right,
so she's 88 now, and she's they're going up to Maine this summer to visit the old homestead like they do every year.
Allie, are you excited? They're going to Maine.
My parents live in Maine, and they too have been together since they were 15. Basically, Kevin, you're my best friend.
Oh, that nails it right there.
See? Right there. Done.
All right. The other thing I wanted to ask you about, Kevin, is I saw you on the TV the other day on the USA Network, that new Dana Carvey show, First Impressions. And very, very funny. And I was surprised – maybe I'm stupid here, but I was surprised how many comedians there are out there that are doing impressions. That seems like a difficult thing to do, first of all, and a difficult way to kind of make it as an impressionist. What are your thoughts on that?
It is very difficult. I always thought that I would be an impressionist in high school, and I was thinking, you know, I could do like Jimmy Stewart and those people from back then, you know, and I was pretty good at it. But then I thought, do I want people do I want to be doing impressions of other people, or do I want people doing impressions of me, you know, because I've become so well-known at what I do.
And other people,
and,
right?
Yeah. And in hindsight, I wish I had become an impressionist.
What was your best impression, if you had to pull out one?
Jimmy Stewart was probably the best.
Okay. Do it for us.
Now, just a minute. That was uncalled for. Mary!
And there's not a lot of call for the Jimmy Stewart impression anymore, so it's good that you didn't put all your eggs in that basket, I guess.
That is true. But I do admire these people that can do impressions, and some of them are just amazing. I mean, Jim Carrey was always amazing, the way his face would just become that character, you know?
Yes. Yeah, it's a definite, very specific skill that people have. And I mean, I honestly think Dana Carvey is the best of all of them. I really do. I think he's unbelievable. I don't know why Dana Carvey is not a much bigger star. Like, why haven't we found a way to use him on television or in movies to the point where he should be used? I don't know.
Well, first of all, you're right about him being a good impressionist. He's more of a caricaturist when it comes to impressions. He'll take somebody like George Bush and he'll just, you know, he won't do like a spot-on impression of him. He'll twist it a little bit and make it more of a cartoony, like not gone that.
right.
Time. And he's so talented. He's got a special coming out. He just taped in Boston, which will be out soon. And then he's got this show going. And in fact, we're just going today in about an hour and a half. We're going to go pitch Hans and Franz, a cartoon, to a bunch of different networks this week.
Really?
Yeah. So he's doing pretty good.
That was, of course, one of your most enduring skits that you guys did on SNL for a long time. And Arnold ended up being a big fan of Hans and Franz, right?
He did, yeah. Arnold Schwarzenegger, he used a lot of our slogans in his campaign for governor. He would be, you know, don't be such a girly man, you know.
How crazy surreal was that for you?
It was pretty crazy. You know, just the fact that he liked the characters. We were making fun of him, you know. And
yet I'm not positive he knew that.
Maybe he didn't. When he came on the show to do a sketch with us, we thought maybe he's coming on to kill us.
This is the voice of our friend Kevin Nealon here on the Kevin DeBede Show, talking about the Irvine Improv. Five big shows this weekend. Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday, then again on Sunday. Tickets are at improv.com.
Somebody that's there at Irvine, shout out to Jimmy Stewart! Right?
Oh, great. Now that's going to happen.
Kevin, you had to do all those years you were on SNL, and it must have been what, like 8, 10 years, something like that?
Yeah, it was 9 years.
9 years, okay. You had to do a lot of impressions because you played a lot of characters, I would imagine,
right?
Yeah. Is that something that you were naturally good at, or was that always tough for you?
Well, it's amazing when you're thrown in a pot like that, how quickly you can adapt and find out things that you're capable of doing that you never knew before. And so, you know, they would throw me some things, like I would do Larry King. You know, I found out I could do Larry King.
Oh, nice.
And
how do you find out you can do Larry King?
Well, everybody has a certain kind of a range, I think, with their voice and tonal quality. And I was just able to do Larry.
All right.
The way kind of the gravelly. Roanoke, Virginia. And they were never really like spot on impressions, but you know, with the glasses and the shoulders up high and the suspenders, you know, people go, oh yeah, that's Larry King.
Right, right.
Or Brent Musburger or things like that, you know. But you know, that I never really was an impressionist, so I just kind of adapted and did my best.
You mentioned the Hans and Franz cartoon. I hope that goes for you. Any interest in being on another live action show like you were for all those years on Weeds?
Sure, yeah. I'd be up for anything if it was well-written and a good show. You know, I just wrote a screenplay with my wife that we're hoping to shoot this summer called Then I'll Be Happy, or The Pleaser, one of the other. We haven't decided which title yet.
The best comedy is written with one's wife. I do know that.
Well, you know, she really is a good writer, and we work well together, so that just happened to work out. But I'm in a film coming out right this week, I guess. It's called The Pop Star with Andy Samberg.
You're in The Pop Star?
That looks so great.
Well, I filmed it. As long as it hasn't been cut out, I think I'm in it.
You don't know? They don't give you a notice of whether you got cut out or not?
Well, I haven't been invited to the premiere, so maybe I was cut out.
Okay, yeah.
Mm. All right. Well, we've got
that's the way of telling you.
We've got Mr. Samberg on later in the week too. We're so excited about that movie. Those guys, those Lonely Island guys, are incredible, aren't they, Kevin?
Well, when you've been on an island that long and you're that lonely, you start creating stuff.
I don't think misunderstood. All right.
Ask him if I'm still in the film when you talk
about it. We will. Tell you what, we will, and then we'll tweet at you, Kevin, and let you know so you don't waste your time going to the premiere. All right.
Okay.
All right. Any final words? Irvine Improv, five shows this weekend. Anything anything special besides that you'll be breaking out the Jimmy Stewart impression?
Well, just that I love you guys so much. We can't go this long in between phone calls anymore.
I agree. It's always a lot of fun to have you on. We're huge fans, as you know. Improv.com. Buy the tickets. Go see the great Kevin Nealon on stage this weekend, and then see him in the Pop Star movie when it comes out, or not, depending on how that goes. Have a great one, Kevin. Thanks, dude.
Okay, thanks, you guys.
Well, we have to talk about the thing, you guys, that everybody was talking about this weekend, and that is Gorillagate 2016. How can we not?
God.
Kevin, you don't watch the news because you're a kid.
But
you heard about the gorilla, right? You heard about the gorilla in the zoo.
If it's the kid that fell in the thing with the
deal?
The
kid that fell in the thing with the
gorilla with the deal, yeah.
So, I have many thoughts on this.
Okay.
Not the least of which is maybe not death threats against the parents. Maybe that's an overreaction. Maybe you don't contact them via their Facebook and threaten to kill Michelle Gregg, 32, and Deion Dickerson, 37.
Sure.
I feel like that's sort of just a given now.
Yeah.
It seems like it, yes.
Yeah. I don't like this comic book character's arc. I will kill the writer.
Right.
It's crazy.
It is. Where did that reaction come from?
I don't know.
You go from zero to murder in like 5 seconds. It's weird. So for folks who don't know, this family is at the zoo, and their 4-year-old falls into the gorilla enclosure. Now, question one is, shouldn't gorilla enclosures be set up so that you can't fall into them?
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah. I would think they would be enclosed.
It was quite the route that this little boy took, underneath some wires, over a wall, and into. So he wanted in.
He really wanted to be in there.
He did.
And apparently bystanders, you know, people who were in the vicinity of the family said that they heard the little boy saying he wanted to go into the water. So the mom was aware of his intent. So then how did it happen that she let him do it?
Yeah. Apparently she was watching six kids.
Oh, six kids. All hers?
I don't think so. I think she has four.
Why do I know all this?
Yeah, I say four is my limit for a zoo.
They have four children together, right, okay, in Cincinnati. So she went on her Facebook and essentially, and this was the two words that I think really got the ire of the nation, which is accidents happen. When she said accidents happen, people were like, dude, this accident can't happen.
This is like, you know, stuff happens.
Yeah.
Right.
What are you going to do?
Accidents happen is, oh, I left my kid in the car with the windows rolled up and he baked to death. You know what I mean? That's the type of thing that people say that just sounds so flippant compared to what ended up happening in this, in the situation of your inattention. So I think people were pretty angry. She didn't appear to be very contrite. It was pretty like, hey, not my fault. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then she even made it seem like it was God's will that the gorilla was ousted.
Yeah.
Really? She did everything wrong in that Facebook post, basically.
Yes, she did. She did everything wrong. And by the way, she has hired a PR person, of course, and she's turning down interviews and everything like that. So she's trying to stay on the down low now. By the way, it has also come up, and I guess this is in no way relevant, that the dad has years of criminal charges against him, including burglary, firearm offenses, drug trafficking, criminal trespassing, and kidnapping.
Wow.
So people are already kind of predisposed to go, hey, I don't care for this family. And now they went and got that gorilla killed. And what about all the people, Allie, who are outraged that the decision was made to shoot the gorilla? Are they wrong?
I struggle with this because, let's be honest, it's a four-year-old child in there. You don't know what's going to happen. And you can take one stance and say, the gorilla was looking like he was protecting the little boy. Okay.
Possible.
Possible. He also could have been so freaked out by something new in his environment that he wanted to, at some point, tear said little boy apart. We don't know. So people that are very up in arms about shooting the gorilla, I get it. And then some people are saying, why didn't you tranquilize him? Well, it takes a long time for that tranquilizer to work. And the first reaction of the gorilla when he's tranked is freak the F out. So that's what they
were. They don't like it. They're not so tranq happy.
So there were so many factors going into what they ultimately did, which was shooting the gorilla. It's not like it was just this knee-jerk, oh, we got to kill the gorilla.
I mean, that's the kid was in there for 10 minutes before they shot the gorilla.
Yeah.
10 minutes?
Yeah.
How long must that have seemed to people watching, by the way?
Yeah, no kidding.
But I mean, there was no way. Look, the zoo had no good options there.
No.
Trank, and maybe the kid gets killed.
And then you shoot, and then the outrage is...
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, crazy
exactly
as well.
Yeah. So it's a terrible situation. All right, last question, because then we got to move on. And that is, what should happen to the parents, if anything? There is talk that there might be charges against them for child endangerment or who knows what
negligence else.
Negligence, yeah. Do you think, because I feel like there are a lot of situations where maybe if nothing goes wrong, you get away with it. But if there are consequences like this 17-year-old gorilla getting shot in the head, maybe now you got to pay. Maybe you got to pay for the gorilla. I don't know what the answer is. But do you think there should be charges, or do you think it's just, well, it's understandable. You had a lot on your plate and you missed that one. What do you do if you're in charge, if you're the prosecutor in this county?
I charge them.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Because the kid told them that that's what he wanted. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. And I understand parents are all saying, well, you look away from your kid for an instant and they're gone.
Right.
I get that. But at a zoo, be a little more cautious than if you're in your living room. Just a little bit. And my concern, honestly, is this family going to sue the zoo? And if they do, oh,
That family is going down. I will sue that family for
a lot of lawsuits as a result of this.
What will you sue them for?
Anger.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. You're mad.
Real angry.
Mm-hmm. So, Kevin, you would sue them. You would bring charges, I mean, against them. What would you like to see the penalty be for them? Should somebody go to jail?
Boy, I don't have any idea of that. I don't know that.
That's a tough one.
I don't know what the possibilities are even.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you just you put one of the parents in one of the other exhibits at the zoo. You just go, all right, mom.
Make them live in the zoo.
Go.
Oh, man.
You have 24 hours. Good luck.
And then you drop a gorilla into their enclosure.
Right, exactly.
Oh, boom.
This got dark.
That's right.
See? Now we're
business. Maybe make like a jacket made out of meat. Make her wear it.
I feel like now we're coming up with some good ideas.
Is that an option? No? Okay.
No.
It seemed good to me.
A jacket of meat.
A meat jacket.
Come on, Allie. You know, a meat jacket.
No, I don't
know.
Come
on.
And the fact
get with it.
That was your first thought is so disturbing.
This is why Kevin should be a judge.
Right? Who would be a better judge than me?
Put her in an exhibit, drop a gorilla in, and give her a jacket of meat. That was just off the top of his
head. Right, that's what should happen. I don't know why people don't listen to me, Judge Kevin.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:43.
So, must have gone well down there at the Prophet's Rage ticket on sale, I would imagine. If the police said, hey, don't wait till 10, start selling the tickets now, right?
Yeah.
I don't feel like that's ideal.
Typical. The man keeping us down, right?
Right. Are they keeping us down?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Some of those that work forces, right?
You can go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com, by the way, to see the Facebook Live interview with all five members of Prophets of Rage from this morning's show. A lot of fun to have those guys in, and particularly to meet the legend Chuck D in person.
That was crazy.
Won't
he
soon
was
forget
so lovely.
He really was.
Nice. Yeah. All right, Ralph, it's your time for a final look at the Showbiz Beat for Tuesday. What's going on?
I don't know.
You don't know.
I'm not the kind of guy to get political. I'm not a political animal by nature. I tend to keep my politics to myself.
Right.
But I can't deny that there is one candidate that needs support, I think, and is getting a raw deal and needs to be... I don't know. I think people who need to who believe like he does need to speak out on his behalf.
Okay.
And, of course, by that candidate, I mean Jonah Ryan of the great state of New Hampshire.
Oh.
Time to champion the little guy.
Jonah Ryan, by the way, and it is not John H. Ryan like some people seem to believe it is.
Well, it was a mistake in the banner, I think, the way it was printed.
He is a candidate for the office of congressman from New Hampshire. And I'm such a huge fan, and I've been following his career for years, and his new commercial spots started airing this weekend. All right, if you're not watching Veep,
yeah,
you can go right to hell. Because it is five seasons in, the best season it's ever been this season. With a new showrunner, a new team of writers. It's insane how they have upped the ante. And Tim Simons, who plays Jonah Ryan, has a new storyline where he is now the hand-picked choice to be an idiot and run for Congress in New Hampshire. And his commercials... You can go to the website, by the way, which they have all the commercials available. And it's just him being big and dorky, pretending to chop wood, but not really. Keep cutting to a shot of someone who's actually cutting wood. And he's obviously missing as he's doing it. And it's
chasing
just...
kids around on the playground.
And the research groups, they gather to watch commercials like, I'm afraid for the kid. He's like chasing around the playground. It's just so damn funny. If you missed it on Veep, here's one of the commercials for Jonah Ryan for Congress.
Hello there. I'm Jonah Ryan. And I grew up right here in the awesome state of New Hampshire, the Granite State of the United States. Later, I moved to Washington, D.C., where I became a very important power player in our nation's capital. But now I've come back home. I'm a political outsider, and I'm fighting for change in the great state of New Hampshire.
Vote Ryan for Congress.
My name is Jonah Ryan, and I approve this message.
Got my vote.
USA! I'm Jonah Ryan, and I approve this message. Just that little choice, that little emphasis. Ugh, so good.
And for folks who aren't watching Veep,
go right to hell.
go right to hell, first of all. But one of the storylines of the episode this weekend was who called the president the C word. I mean, that's the kind of show we're dealing with.
The title of the episode was Seagate. That was the title of the episode.
And the answer was everybody.
Everyone.
So good.
And spoiler, the last line of the show was her looking at her staffer, Amy, saying, it was everybody, wasn't it?
Yes. Did you know that it was her husband, Julia Louis-Dreyfus?
Brad Hall directed,
directed it. It's one of my favorite episodes.
Well, there you go. Anyway, I just thought it was worth recapping because
agreed.
So
I think it's worth dipping our toe into politics if there's great Americans like Jonah Ryan out there not getting the publicity they deserve.
I agree. Now, Dan Egan has been made his campaign manager. And he just goes off on him, starting with the poster. The poster makes it look like your name is John H. Ryan. All right. 4-day weekend, of course. That means a lot of people went to see the movies. Most of them went to see X-Men Apocalypse, if you look at the box office results.
Ralph, it was a 3-day weekend. You had a 4-day weekend.
Three for most of us.
Oh, I see what you're saying. $80 million made this weekend. $80 million.
I've not heard great things about this particular X-Men movie.
No, people seem disappointed. And Hollywood insiders call the $80 million take disappointing.
Yeah, that's odd to me because it made $80 million.
Not enough.
But a movie like this could easily cost that much and more.
Cost $80 million?
Yeah.
Oh, much more.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, so $80 million isn't a lot if you're trying to recoup your money.
And also, by comic book movie standards, it's not necessarily a barn burner.
How did you not see it, Kevin? This movie has you all over it.
Very busy. A lot of stuff with the people and the things and doing the stuff at the place.
Sure. You can't leave the place.
I don't like going on.
How do you get from one place to the other without the thing and the do?
Right.
In the who. Mm-hmm. Alice Through the Looking Glass debuted with $35 million, also disappointing. According to insiders, the Angry Birds movie was third, Captain America Civil War, and Neighbors 2, Sorority Rising, at number 5. Jungle Book, Nice Guys, Money Monster, Love and Friendship, and Zootopia rounded up the top 10 movies. Speaking of movies, you know, the Angry Birds success had a $50 million opening weekend. They are quickly announcing films of its ilk in production. I'm sure you guys have heard about the Fruit Ninjas movie that's coming to the big screen.
Not heard about the movie,
You didn't hear about Fruit Ninja?
I don't think so,
That's coming to a theater near you. Fruit Ninja. The movie. Fruit Ninja. The movie.
Right.
Forget my ignorance, that's also a game?
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's
It is
fruit.
The second most popular handheld smartphone game that is played.
There's okay. fruit bean that's falling through the air, and you cut it with your finger like you have a samurai sword. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole thing.
That's the story.
That's it.
And that's a movie?
It's going to be. Huh. And also, I don't know if we've mentioned yet, the Tetris film. The $80 million Tetris film that is currently in the works.
Okay.
Next thing you know, they're going to try to make a movie out of Lego. Because they can take anything, no matter how.
Yeah, there is a Lego movie.
What?
Shut up.
The Tetris
I'm
movie,
sorry
by the way.
For the realness.
No,
it's the first of a trilogy they've announced. So we'll get three Tetris movies. So don't feel bad if you don't think that they're not going to be able to tell the whole story, because there's going to be three films. Over three films, they'll be able to tell the story about bricks that come from the sky and you build a wall. And then make
three
the Mexicans
movies.
Pay for it, apparently. That's what's going to be.
Golden age of Hollywood, you guys.
Jumping Jiminy.
I mean, the truth is, though, Ralph, every year is the biggest box office year in history, right?
Yes.
So whatever they're doing is working.
Justin Bieber and Skrillex have been sued by an independent artist named Casey Dinell. She records under the name of White Hinterland. And she says that the opening vocal hook of her tune Ring the Bell was stolen and reproduced in the beginning of Justin Timberlake's hit song Sorry.
Nope, Bieber.
I'm sorry, Bieber. Different Justin.
Yeah. The bad one. This is the bad one.
The bad Justin, mm-hmm. Yes. She claims that they did not obtain license to reproduce her work, nor did they obtain or seek her permission. And Skrillex says, well, no, it's a completely different vocal hook that was newly recorded. And White Hinterland is saying, it doesn't matter if you had someone else record it, it's still my hook that I created. I'll let you be the judge. Judge Kevin, you be the judge. First, okay. We'll play a little of the Justin Bieber hit Sorry, and then we'll follow up with White Hinterland's opening of her song, Ring the Bell. Here's Justin. you're sorry. Now, here is Ring the Bell by White Hinterland.
And you're saying you think those sound a lot alike?
Guilty!
Yeah. So, I think there's going to be a check written.
I hope.
To somebody, from somebody.
That's quite a prediction.
Do you like that?
But I could be wrong.
Put that down. Write that one down, because I'm standing by that one.
Let's see what this Bieber fan has to say.
He's Justin Bieber. He's the handsome devil that came down from heaven to make some great songs and dance forever.
Right. Dances forever.
I hope he's on the jury.
He can sing and dance, and I don't think he's that bad to look at either.
Okay. No, it's true.
I feel like I'm related to him.
We all do, Kevin. We all do. Now, Skrillex has a video now he's put up saying, no, this is how I did it. I did this all original. And he shows him like a screen. He's like pushing buttons, showing you how he made the hook. So he can't do that. He can't reproduce that. That has to be original if you can do it on a computer.
That is strange.
Right? It's proof positive.
Yeah, you could have any person go in and sing whatever melody you want, right?
Right.
Even if they copy it from somebody else's record.
Exactly. Yeah.
So this one, will this go to court, or you think, like you said, they're just going to settle this one? White Hinterland gets $50. She's probably gone, right?
She has sued. And so we'll have to wait to see if it goes actually to court or not, but it may settle before it ever reaches a courtroom, yeah. But I don't think White Hinterland is holding up for $50. Uh-uh. I think maybe she wants more than 50.
All right. 60.
Yes. Sorry, it was a big number one record. So.
Yeah, there was money made. She did not make any. Today's celebrity birthdays, Andy Hurley, drummer for Fall Out Boy, is 36 years old today. Colin Farrell's 40. Phil Kogan, Amazing Race host, 49 years old today. DMC of Run DMC, Daryl McDaniels, is 52. Leah Thompson's 55. Chris Elliott, very funny man, is 56. Clint Eastwood, who Allie said she would do, is 86 years old today.
True.
You do an 86-year-old man.
Yeah.
You are special.
Thank you.
You hold yourself in high regard. And actress Brooke Shields, one of my favorites, Brooke Shields, 51 years old today. It feels like yesterday when she was on our show and
Kevin
treated her as she should be treated.
I didn't.
Follow Ms. Shields on Twitter, at Brooke Shields. Hey, thanks for the time. We enjoyed it.
Thank you, guys.
It's
I listen
to one of going on now.
Oh, man. Like she was still talking.
She sure was.
Not just talking,
no.
Giving you guys a compliment.
She was sharing her feelings. She was opening up her heart.
Yeah.
Can we hear that one more time?
I don't think we need to hear it again. We all heard it just
spin
right
that
now.
One more time.
Follow Ms. Shields on Twitter, at Brooke Shields. Hey, thanks for the time. We enjoyed it.
Thank you, guys.
It's Serena's Homes Square's 2-week Black Friday sale going on now.
And the trailing off.
That was not intentional.
Maybe you shouldn't run the board accidentally. Maybe everything you do over there should be intentional.
Not proud of that.
Yeah. Well, you should put on a jacket of meat. That's how I feel about you right now. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. On your drive home today, listen to the commercial-free 5 p.m. hour, thanks to a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, we've got William Shatner. We have Andy Samberg talking about his movie Pop Star, Never Stop, Never Stopping. And we have your tickets for 21 Pilots as well tomorrow morning.